Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and are you sure that the producer, Mrs. Luna, she's not here?
The producer is not here.
You're positive? Because I heard after the speech that if she sees me, she's going to beat the shit out of me.
I am as positive as a Kurt Angle drug test.
So she's definitely not here.
She's definitely not here.
Okay, let's get this out of the way quick.
Okay.
Before she gets home.
Okay.
Beats the shit out of me.
Yeah. Yeah, she's after you. There was a festival.
She's the only woman in the world, you know.
That's after you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's damn true. There was a festival.
Well, there was that one that I gave
Billy Gunn?
That disease to. She's not pleased with me either. She sees me.
Yeah. Syphilis Sally. Better than gonorrhea Gary that you knew, though.
Oh, I know.
Can't believe you gave that to him.
Well, yeah, but we can blame Kelly for starting it all.
That's true.
All right, what the hell are we doing?
The festival!
The what?
The festival of the summer!
Oh, the biggest fest of the summer?
The biggest fest of the summer. Summer Fest. See, it's even written right there.
Summer Fest. You have a list of shit.
Summer Fest. Oh, yeah, well, I'm prepared.
Yeah.
Because I'm a broadcast journalist.
So, yeah, the Summer Fest.
The Summer fucking Fest. We went in with, of course, the obvious question. What's going to happen
at the Summer Fest? Yeah. No one was asking me. What's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
At the Summer Fest.
At the Summer Fest. But yeah, we had some matches.
That's usually what they have at a Summer Fest.
Yeah, I thought a lot of the matches were good.
No, it was a good show. I can't imagine anything ever topping 1998. Like 1998 SummerSlam was like it's just so great. Like even the stuff that's awful, like the Oddities versus Ty and Ty,
yeah, the biggest against the smallest.
Like even as awful as that is, worked because. It was so unique, and every single match had a gimmick, you know, like a title on the line or some sort of specialty match.
This mixed person, tag.
Yeah, this person's going to get their hair cut, and this or mixed tag. Or
Edge's debut there.
Edge's debut, yeah, ladder match. Like everything had a gimmick, but it didn't feel forced.
Heath Slater wasn't on the show.
The action was great. Like, it's the best. After that, I always kind of figure SummerSlam 2002, where Brock Lesnar won the title and Shawn Michaels against The Rock, and Shawn Michaels returned against Triple H.
Yeah, that's probably.
Otherwise, you had like Ray and Angle, and like you had it was a great card up and down.
That was actually very much.
I think you had Ric Flair and Jericho. I think Flairico. It was a great card.
Yeah, but it was. It definitely. Those three matches alone. Were great,
nothing atop 98, but I think this one gives serious competition for second place to 2002. I mean, it's 12 years. It's a long time.
It is a long time. I could see that. I mean, you had an overachieving women's match.
Perhaps you could say two of them.
The
Stephanie McMahon match had no right to be as good as it was.
That's true.
It's not a 5-star classic, but it's not the abortion in the ring that I was expecting either. You know?
No?
It was pretty decent. The thing is, Stephanie is... I was surprised how credible her offense looked, and yet how you could tell she was an extremely safe worker. And she has, like, no athletic... Like, she is a big-boned girl who's going to end up... The fact she isn't fat yet is just because she's rich enough to keep from being fat.
Yeah.
Like, she's... Her nature, her body type, her whatever, she's not an athletic girl. Brie Bella is athlete. She was a very good... She was a university soccer player, and I think almost made the national team, and Nikki was, too, but Brie was the better player.
Yeah.
Better athlete, but... Yeah, I mean, Yeah, it was way better. I thought Stephanie's, like I say, her offense looked good, very, very safe. I was really impressed that her offense looked realistic enough.
Yeah.
And then Brie, I thought her babyface comeback and firing up was very reminiscent of her husband. Not as good, obviously, but I thought it was...
In that vein, yeah.
In that vein, and that she got the psychology of it and the style of it. And she had really worked on it and worked with him. And I don't know, I was very impressed with the match.
And you got the Nikki turn.
Which I didn't like.
No, I didn't like that. I didn't like the reaction of Brie on Monday either.
I didn't like the Nikki turn. I didn't like the crowd cheering the Nikki turn. Yeah. I didn't like the Nikki's promo. I didn't like Brie's promo on Monday. All that storyline wise, and I understood that we knew it was coming.
Yeah,
but then you have built it up to the point where now if it happens, it doesn't make sense anymore. So now it shouldn't happen, and you still did it. It was a swerve for the sake of doing a swerve, and the crowd's cheering because it's a swerve, and they're like, "Ha! I knew it." It's a "Ha! I knew it" cheer.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like, "I told you this was going to happen."
Yeah, yeah, just bullshit.
Yeah.
Storyline wise, there is absolutely no reason for her to be more angry and want to turn on her sister than the woman that has bullied her for months.
Yeah,
exactly. And Stephanie. And they didn't provide a good reason. So storytelling-wise, it was shitty. As far as an actual turn, it worked, I suppose, for what they wanted it to do. But as far as good storytelling, that I didn't like, no. This shitty
story. No, and then you're just going to have the Bellas feud against each other, which, correct me if I'm wrong, we've seen before.
It didn't last long, though.
I didn't think it lasted.
No, it was really minor, low card.
It was like right before they left or something. Yeah, yeah. But
so who cares?
Yeah, and fast forward to now, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it's just will
it be on Night of Champions, I think?
I don't know.
They have to defend every belt.
Well,
how many belts is that?
That's 17. Mm-hmm. No, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 belts.
That's it, yeah.
5 belts. Wow.
3 singles belts, a women's belt, and yeah, 5 belts. So there's room for this.
Yeah, in the tag, yeah.
It'll give us 2 pay-per-views in a row where you'd have... 2 women, and this may, and who knows how many women will be in the title match?
Cause
there's like 14 number one contenders at this point.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's 3, but sadly one of them is Eva Marie.
Yeah.
And Total Divas will start around the same time as the.
They're finishing taping, right?
I think it debuts on September 7th or something. So it'll be still fresh, new first couple weeks when the Night of Champions happens. So
I wonder how much they'll talk the storyline from NXT, or will it be just focused on the storyline as far as Natalya and Tyson? Will that be a separate thing that they stay to the main roster?
They go to marriage counseling.
Well, yeah, but that's for Total Divas storyline. But the storyline in NXT that's been so great, I wonder if they will ignore that or make a new one.
They'll ignore that. Yeah, kind of for sure. Yeah, for sure.
But apparently, from what I'm hearing, the people at the network, or people in the production company or something like that, somebody was outside of WWE was thinking that the twins should face off against each other, and so.
Yes, yeah, so that's why. That's what it's for, really.
Yeah. Whatever. Go with it.
Yeah.
So it's not like... So the thing is, Brie is with Daniel Bryan. It's not like you... On WWE television. Have they even once acknowledged Cena?
No.
Not even once, eh?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
And if they have, it hasn't been made a big deal of, that's for sure. So, I mean... Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's... That's just a stupid... turn, it's going to happen. They're going to have a...
It was very Russo-rific.
And it's something I'm...
And that's not a good thing. Like, it was just a turn that... Yeah, like I said, if leading into it, you could have a thing like, I think she may turn, there's a reason why. She shouldn't. She's still her sister, but I think I can see why. Like when Orndorff turns on Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, there's... Or Savage turns on Hogan. Like, there was something... Like, or Owen Tones turns on Bret. I mean... It didn't just happen.
So does that make a Nikki Bella the Bonita Dick Darnold?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
That didn't work.
No?
No.
The Bonita Arnold?
No.
A cunt?
That's what it makes her.
There, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, again, you talk about good storytelling... Swerves.
Well, we very rarely do that.
No, but I mean, it actually has been pretty good most of the time. And then, well, I mean, Well, I mean, you have a great event. They built up every match so that there was an actual feud. We're starting to see these undercard feuds that we bitched about forever that you didn't see.
Yes.
We're starting to see these regularly between tag teams. You got your Dallas, Bo Dallas and Jack Swagger, which may be pay-per-view, maybe TV. Either way, at least it's a program.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is stuff that they weren't doing forever.
No,
they could only do like two programs, and if they could fit in a third, it was amazing.
Well, that's why it used to be such a big deal when Buff Bagwell would say, "I was in a program," because it just never happened.
It never happened.
But I mean, you're right. I mean, now they said they've got this. Hell, Mark Henry is in two.
Yeah, Mark Henry's in. Well, he isn't in a program. He's in a team.
But he's in a team, and he's got a Rusev.
Yeah, but he's in two storylines. I guess you could say.
There you go. See,
not two programs, but yeah. Two storylines.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but again, so we're saying this is a good thing, and they come off this great event, but then all of a sudden you turn around and you're like, okay, it's almost like you were so focused on this event, everything culminated in a great yes. way, and you had such short-sighted thinking, everything you've done at this event is going to lead, so storyline-wise, action-wise, I'm sure it'll be fine, but
yeah.
Storyline-wise, your Night of Champions...
You're left saying, what's going to happen... At the Night of Champions.
Well, you're left saying everything that we're seeing so far looks like it doesn't make any fucking sense.
That's right.
At the Night of Champions.
No, and...
So, let's go back to...
Let's go to Ziggler and Miz, because that opened the show, right? Yeah. And, actually, RVD with his, what, second or third win in a row?
I believe two wins in a row.
Yeah.
Actually, at the time, it was his first win in a row.
No, it was his second win in a row.
At the time, it was his first. So, he got the second win in a row on Raw when he pinned...
Right.
Rybacksel. Whatever.
That's right.
One of the, I think.
That's right. No, I thought he won a match on, like, SmackDown. Hmm. And then he won on SummerSlam.
Seems unlikely.
But regardless, you know, get this guy on a roll, because he's finishing up. So.
Yeah, that's true. He's on his way out.
Yeah.
So now's when you want to
I believe
on.
I put hashtag.
Well, that doesn't matter.
I believe I wrote when he won that match, his third match in a row or whatever, I think I hashtagged stretcher match flashback.
Well, not quite. I mean, again, I understood why he won and why Ziggler won.
And then he goes into a double countout on SmackDown with Randy Orton.
No, he's attacked before the match. It never happens.
Is it, that's what it is? It never happens? It I it thought it was happens. A double countout.
It never officially happens because he's attacked by Randy Orton before the match.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You'd hate to have him lose.
Yeah, well, especially, you don't want him beating Randy Orton right before he leaves. That would be
That would unusual. Be dumb. That would be dumb.
Yeah, I'd never do that.
Never do that. Never pin him, though.
Well.
Never pin
him. Unless Vince found out that the fans might expect him to win, because he's leaving.
That's right.
And he might change his mind.
All the odds shifted, speaking of people finding out. This script got out.
Fuck. Yeah. I just gotta watch the odds, and if they start shifting that heavily, just start laying some money down.
Yeah, I know.
You know how fucking safe it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean,
20 minutes before bell time, like odds have shifted. Like Paige is going from being a minor
to an overwhelming favorite.
Overwhelming, yeah, minor underdog to overwhelming favorite. Same thing like Rusev, you know, stuff like that.
So. Yeah, and I mean, we can talk about. So we talked about Miz and Swagger.
Yeah.
Over delivering. The producer was watching this with me, and she said,
we were ill.
"Yeah." So yeah. She was saying that. She was watching the match, and she's like, "Oh," she goes, "Well, what's?" She goes, "That guy looks like a dick," and I go, "Yeah, and he's gonna lose." Or no, but yeah, I said, "Yeah, but he's gonna win." And then Ziggler won.
Yeah,
and I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
Dolph Ziggler. Well, I mean, you know what? It makes sense though, because there's that. How can I bury this guy anymore?
No, that's not what it is.
We're gonna give him the Intercontinental title.
No. What it is, and it's pretty simple. You look at the card. I believe there was 8 matches, and at that point, this is the reason. 9 matches, including I think pre-show. I think it was, and at the point where they actually had laid it out, they had laid out Cesaro winning. They had laid out Miz winning. And at that point, they had one babyface going over to Roman Reigns. So they put RVD over, and they put Miz over. Just to even it out. That's the only reason they did it. That's the reason why both guys
Ziggler
over. Ziggler over, yeah. They wanted to give the babyface, especially early, and make the title change because they knew and they were worried about the crowd. Because you know how their mentality always is send the whole crowd home happy? They knew their babyfaces were losing every other match except for the Reigns match.
Yes.
And how, especially your champion was being destroyed. So they felt they had to do this. And so when you look at it like that, you go, oh, okay, I get why they did it.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, I got why they did it.
And it was a last-minute change. They kind of, yes. Somebody kind of looked at it and went, we have one babyface going over all night. At SummerSlam.
Yeah.
You can't have it.
Well, and I mean, RVD winning, I mean, as much as we joke about how, he's leaving, it really doesn't make a difference. You know, Ziggler beating whoever
is in it. Doesn't make a damn bit. I mean, Cesaro and Sheamus are going to work a program for that USL until Rusev finally gets, until the point where Rusev does get it.
Yeah.
You know?
I believe it's Cesaro and Sheamus 2K15 video game on a pole match.
It could be. Because,
they had that P-anal.
P-anal.
Or
I thought Sheamus was the star.
You did. I thought Cesaro was the star.
Cesaro was great, too.
Yeah.
But I thought Sheamus was the best. He was so fucking
bad. I thought Sting was the star, saying, you can watch a lot of old wrestling matches on YouTube or the WWE Network.
Yeah, that's great. This is actually I really enjoyed that panel, actually. I thought Steve Austin especially did a great job hosting it, even though he had a series of questions. He stuck to some of them, but you could see he went off script some on that.
Yeah, too. And I'll tell
natural.
You, the biggest... takeaway, my absolute biggest blow-away moment of this panel, and I'm not even joking, the biggest blow-away panel was Hulk Hogan saying, Christ, you saw Cesaro pick up Big Show and hold him there?
Yeah.
I slammed Andre, I slammed Big Show, but Cesaro picked him up and held him there. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah, he actually he did, and he talked about that, how it's like, I picked them up, I turned them over right away. Up and down. I barely got him up, barely got him down again.
Right. They were 4,700 pounds each at that point, but still.
Yeah, but you know what, he actually said that, he goes, you do that with Big Show, you picked him up, he's 500 pounds. I know, brother, I know he's built like four, but trust me,
he
said that too, to put over Cesaro even more.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of cool.
But, the fact that Hogan, did put him over very strong was, we were like, oh, I was just like, holy shit. But yeah, I mean, Ziggler's your Intercontinental Champion. They can turn it back around at Night of Champions, or they cannot, and it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't matter, usually.
Like I said, Cesaro and Sheamus are going to work a program now at Night of Champions. Sheamus was factored in to... SummerSlam got hurt. The tapings, they didn't want to rush anything. So they didn't need it.
That was such a brutal flu. They were back a couple weeks.
Yeah, and so they didn't need it. So they didn't need them, and that's fine. I mean, we had Swagger and Rusev.
Yes,
which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah,
and
we already talked about what they need to do with Swagger is put him on a tour. Being the guy who talks to the real people, finds out what's
that's
right.
That's hot times, baby.
What finds out what's right and wrong about the country. Be the common man. Be the American who's listening for it and will always fight for it. Doesn't think it's perfect, but wants to make it better. Be that guy.
The polka dots.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's what they need to do. That's not what they're doing. That's what they need to do.
That is not what they're doing.
He does it. It's amazing how. He did a great job in this. He had good matches with him. He was over. He played his part great.
Yeah.
And so as soon as he's over, he has momentum. So what do you do to capitalize on the momentum? They don't say, now's the time to capitalize. They say,
we didn't plan for this. This isn't the plan.
And immediately him losing, and I understood why he was losing. I did. I think he could have won. You could have made it a different type of gimmick match.
I didn't think it killed him that he passed out from the pain.
No. But they had to play it upright.
Oh, the follow-up, was not. But not all of the follow-up.
His promo was good on Monday.
I thought the beginning of his follow-up where he let his country down and he's going to just pick himself up and dust off his boots and just go right out and give the old college try again. Yeah. I thought that was great. I thought that was something that really they would have scripted for Zeb Coulter. It's the same verbiage. They just gave it to him, which makes me worry about Zeb Coulter because Rusev did kick him and knock him out.
I think Zeb Coulter will be back.
I don't know.
We'll see. But
I hope he is. I don't know.
They needed to play off the rib injury more, and that's why he lost to Cesaro, and the Cesaro poked him in the eye. All these little things they needed to play up because he was the babyface. But again, it's okay for him to be the sympathetic babyface. I just let my country down. I'm hurt. I still went out to fight. And because I'm hurt, I lost that fight too.
Yeah.
But I'm giving it my fucking best. That's it. That's just sympathetic. Instead, as soon as Bo Dallas comes out, he goes from being, we talked about this before, and this is one of the things that they do wrong.
Yeah.
They don't get the sympathetic babyface to the pathetic babyface.
Yes.
And that line that they don't often understand the difference. And they're turning him pathetic. And nobody will cheer a pathetic babyface.
No.
And it already was like when he came out on Monday, even after a good promo, it was like, we really still want to cheer you, but you just like...
Yeah.
But I also don't want to get behind a guy that I know is a loser. Yeah. And you just lost to Rusev, and you're probably going to be slaughtered back where he was. And I want to, but I'm afraid to cheer for you.
He already is fighting that
because of his past, right?
Yeah, give me a reason to cheer you, and they didn't. He lost to Cesaro, and
then he got run down, and then he goes to a feud with Bo, who's already
a loser.
Yeah, they've already kind of established the level he's at, so... It's good to see the mid-card guys getting feuds. Well, I think that's a good thing.
I think it's even better that your opening card guys are getting feuds.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, it's like understanding when you have momentum and when you have potential and being able to capitalize on it, that's what's missing here.
Yeah, yeah. And that is true. I mean, I love the visual of Rusev being in pain, applying the hold, and Swagger passing off in pain. I thought that was a great match.
Yeah.
And then it got better, because we got Rollins and Ambrose in a lumberjack match.
Best lumberjack match I've ever seen. Now, I understand some people hated it, because it goes against everything that a lumberjack match is, but that's the point.
That was the point.
Everybody else, this would have kept them in the ring. These two and their hatred and Ambrose's craziness are so great that nothing could contain them.
And we talked.
That's the point.
And Ambrose said this in the Shield special that we'll talk about. He said, like, lumberjack match supposed to keep everybody in the ring. So what do you do? Where do you go? You go the opposite way, and then we're brawling outside the ring.
There's psychology behind it.
It's somewhat of a swerve. But it's not. But it makes sense. It's not the Nikki Bella swerve.
No, it's not a swerve just to make a swerve. It's more like what Bret Hart used to talk about in his matches. What made Bret Hart such a great storyteller? Better than pretty much anybody WWE's ever had.
Yeah, you thought he was going to hit you with the left hand. He hit you with the right hand, but it made sense why.
Exactly. So every time he would lead you in on all his lower card, his mid card matches. Get you into a series of moves and expectations, and then in the big match, just when you thought you knew what the move was going to be and when it was going to happen and how it was going to happen, all the patterns that WWE does now that actually sometimes makes their action boring, he would always take it and he goes, that's where you twist it, that's where you turn it, that's where you whatever. And that's where, you know, like that's what a guy like an Orton doesn't get. He'll do all the moves, but he won't know when to twist it. For that extra little storytelling. And this is what Ambrose and Rollins did, and that's what made it great. Another thing that made it great. So a terrific match. I mean, and actually the best match on the card.
Yeah.
Except for the main event's obviously such a spectacle that...
I love the main event.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's great. I'm watching this, I'm like, I can't believe what I'm watching. This is great.
Yeah, it's just beating the shit out of him. And I'm at the point where I'm like, I just have this feeling that he's going to get the shit beat out of him, do a little comeback and win.
See, I didn't. But that's good that you thought that.
Yeah, I know. And then I was a couple, because we talk about the network in a minute, but I was a little bit behind the live.
Yeah.
Because of the buffering.
I was behind too, because I just walked away for like over an hour and waited for the show to end and came back to it.
Yeah.
The buffering and the network experience was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, and I just won't watch live. I'll watch tonight, but I won't watch live.
Yeah. So anyway, I was a little bit behind, and I tweeted that, and then I got a whole bunch of people going, nope, 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 nope. So I was like, oh, okay, let's see how this goes. But
that's it. That's what the first match was, though, right? He beat the shit out of John Cena, who got no offense, until he managed to grab the chain outside the ring, hit him with the chain over his fist once, and then his move. Basically, you're thinking this is the exact same, so I was waiting for that comeback.
Yeah.
But this time he didn't even get that.
No.
And there was that point where he hits that F5 in the middle of the match. It was so great.
Yeah.
And Brock kicks out. And I'm like, I knew he didn't have him. But I expected Brock to continue selling. Like, now he's hurt. Like, now Cena continues to put the offense
on. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So he just gets up and he's smiling and he's like, I'm fresh as a daisy. You just hit me with your best move. And he starts doing that jog in place kind of dance thing that he does.
Pain.
And I'm like, this is he's fucked. This is different. This is great.
Oh yeah.
And as soon as that happened, I was like, he's not getting anything.
No, and that's where I was.
Did we just get followed on Twitter by an indie wrestler?
I believe so.
The Upgrade?
Yes.
I like that name. That's great. Everybody follow The Upgrade. He just followed us.
Yeah, The Upgrade.
That's a great name for... It's almost like the prototype, but not lame.
Not lame. Novocaine 730.
There you go. Independent wrestler from Boston, Massachusetts.
The Moonsault King. Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm a fan already, man. So, yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, it was beating after beating after beating, like one move and then pop up and then keep beating and beating and beating. And was it three F5s again?
I think it was just the two. The 16 release, belly to back release suplexes.
Suplex.
The rolling suplexes.
Repeat. Eat.
Those
sleep.
Just look suplex. Brutal. And you know, there was a point where I'm watching this, and you can see the look on John's face where he's like, okay, I'm supposed to take another one of these. I'm going to take it, but oh, fuck, I don't want to do this again.
Yeah.
And that was after about 10. And then he had to do like 6 more, and you can just see like the look on his face every time he was going up soon. And Lesnar actually was overthrowing him a few times. Lesnar actually had to kind of pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
He's so goddamn strong.
Yeah, he just doesn't know his own strength. But I mean, Lesnar's your champion. Lesnar is now got the one belt. He said he doesn't want to carry two friggin' belts around. So
he said that on TMZ.
Yeah,
and they came out and they talked to him. They
did one belt. Great. And John,
what do you have for supper? Meat.
Well, no, what did you have at the steakhouse? Yeah. What did you have at the steakhouse? And he just started laughing.
He's like, "What the fuck do you think you eat at a steakhouse?" Yeah. I had, you know,
I had a salad.
Yeah. Eggplant, Parmesan.
Yeah.
No, and meat.
Yeah. But, Cena is gone for the foreseeable future.
No, he's not.
We don't have anybody named as a rematch.
Yes, we do.
Oh.
That man whose shirt you're wearing.
You can't see me.
I can't see you having a reason for a rematch.
There is no fucking reason. No. Okay, they're 1-1 in the record books.
In the record books, but even, like, if you look at it, it's like, well, really, he beat the shit out of you twice.
Yeah.
Like,
and you can't even give me this, it's renewal month shit, because WWE has come out and said to people that, like, we're not holding people to their 6 months.
Yeah, they've actually told publicly people. Said that, yeah.
So, it's like, there is no renewal shit.
Yeah.
It's like,
everybody's saying that this is a huge month for them,
It's not. And John Cena's not a huge network renewal guy for them.
Well, not this match now. But the
people signed up for WrestleMania. John Cena was in the middle of that card.
That's true. But that's different.
I understand that it's different, but I'm just saying that in no way have they did one promotion of John Cena exclusively on Main Event, right?
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
John Cena has not factored into this.
But that's because they're too afraid. No, he's on Raw, and he's in the pay-per-views, and he's the focus of the company, and they're too afraid not to him. He's the champ. He's been the champion.
But he's not a focus of the network.
He's been the champion at Battleground. He was the champion at whatever the last few pay-per-views. Like, he's at Money in the Bank. Of course he's the focus of the network.
No, he's not. He's not factored into the network hardly at all. There are no John Cena specials. There is no, this is John Cena. John Cena shows up.
There's not
up.
Many specials at all. There's
John
three.
Cena, John
and
Cena.
One of them is because the guy unfortunately passed away.
John Cena showed up in Main Event.
Another one's for Vicky, actually. So what the fuck?
Four specials, yeah. Dead Guy, Daniel Bryan, The Shield, and
the woman who got fired.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Vicky. And that was awful.
Yes.
And they did do the Cena Brock special,
which was great.
And they did they were talking about they said they did a Stone Cold special, but they didn't.
Well, yeah, it was this.
It was just the match.
It's just the match. It showed the match.
But yeah, but I mean, no. I mean, all I'm saying is that John Cena isn't like they're trying to push this as like you know John current WWF network kind of stuff, right? It's been about the past and been about the pay per views. Yeah, sure, John Cena's headlined 2 of those pay per views now. But that's it.
Special event.
Yeah. SummerSlam and whatever the fucking other one was.
No, I know, Battleground. Money in the Bank.
Butthole Ground. Well, no, he was in the Money in the Bank thing, but
he was the focus. He's fucking John Cena.
But I mean, the thing is that it really hasn't, as I said, when I think of the network, I do not think of John Cena, let's put it that way.
When you think of Raw, do you think of John Cena?
Less and less so, but still, yeah. Yeah. When I think of WWE, I think of John Cena. Today. Today's WWE, John Cena.
Okay, well then you think of the network.
No, I don't. That's the thing. If you told me WWE Network.
No, I know when you think of the network, you think of Raw's from 1995. Those are awesome. Not fucking everybody.
Those are awesome. But no, I mean, I'm just trying to think of how often I've watched John Cena on the network. 3 times now? 4 times?
Well, you don't have to watch him on the network. You mean like you'll go back and watch one of his matches?
Well, anything.
You've watched a couple of his matches.
Yes.
You watched him against Lesnar a couple times.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying, it's not a big... He's not who I associate the network with.
But there's no one individual I associate the network with. So that doesn't mean anything. I don't associate the network with Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, Shield, Daniel Bryan, or Brock, or Vince McMahon.
Point to this was that they're doing this fucking stupid rematch.
Yes.
Because of the network.
Which is stupid. Because...
Well, a couple reasons. They don't have anywhere else to fucking go.
Well, no, because they're short-sighted.
Yeah.
And this is where I come back to the short-sightedness. It would have been really easy. If what they did was had Chris Jericho beat Bray Wyatt again, then Chris Jericho challenging Brock Lesnar for the title at Night of Champions as a former 6-time world champion who's come back and beat Bray Wyatt twice clean.
Yes.
You know...
That would have been that was what I was thinking as well, is Jericho could be a bit of a stopgap.
But unfortunately, and especially since you took out Bray Wyatt's two cronies, right?
Yes.
There was especially no reason for him. Like, this would have built you up somebody. And then what you do is you have him beat Brock Lesnar, and then at the end of the Night of Champions, after Brock Lesnar beats him, you have him face Brock Lesnar, you have Brock Lesnar beat him. At the end of Night of Champions, you have the music play, and he comes down, and the people do the wave thing, and he hasn't been even on TV since SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt. You don't even have him on TV. Then he shows up after Brock Lesnar wins, and walks to the ring, and the whole thing goes on, and when he gets up, Brock Lesnar's just looking at him, laughing, picks up Jericho for him, hands him to him, he gives him the Sister Abigail, you go off the air, and when Jericho comes back, because he's leaving after Night of Champions, you have the match at Mania, or whatever, where Bray Wyatt gets the win, it matters, it's the third one, sure he lost twice, but it doesn't matter, because the final image is still him winning.
Yes.
It accomplishes every fucking thing, and gives you an actual new contender for Brock. Not difficult.
No, not difficult at all.
And this is where we talk about the short-sightedness, which is unfortunate.
Yes.
Because now you're giving me a match that... I know I've seen two great matches between these guys.
But I don't care.
But I don't want to see this again.
I just saw it. I don't need to see it again. No. And I just saw what I wanted to see, which was an utter decimation and destruction. And quite frankly, now it's a matter...
There's nowhere to go against Cena but down.
Yeah.
If Cena gets destroyed again, then Cena's...
Doesn't really matter, to be honest.
No, Cena can't really be destroyed again. Because he's still the face of the company.
They don't want to destroy him again. No, I think you could. I think you could have a more competitive match. The story could be that Cena has gotten a little more offense in, but Brock still kicks his ass.
But the point is, if Brock was such a killer and now he's so impressive, like I walked out of that. I mean, I'm watching this. I'm going, this is a worked match. But I'm watching this guy thinking, but I bet you he could walk back into the UFC and win the title again.
Yeah.
That's how impressive he looked in a worked match. That means something.
What if he goes back to legitimize? Remember when he first came in? We're going to legitimize. And that's what it did to me, too, is that looked legitimate. It's a work, but a legitimate work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you felt like this guy's a killer.
Yes.
You felt like this guy really is the scariest human being to walk the planet.
And that's where Jericho...
Scary.
That's where Jericho is the right guy to kill again, because it's
exactly,
someone there. You know,
it doesn't matter.
He's better than RVD. RVD was the other guy, but I thought, RVD's not...
No,
fuck, you know what I mean?
If they kept him strong, sure.
I know, but they didn't, right? So now Jericho is the guy. It would have been the guy. But now it's Cena. I don't care. It doesn't. Brock has to beat him again.
Yes.
They The only, I mean, because the end game, again, is Roman Reigns.
Yeah. So he's, but if he beats him and it's competitive, Brock is no longer the killer that he is right now, so he loses something.
Yes.
So there's nowhere to go but down.
There isn't. There isn't. And, I mean, Cena wins, and it means...
But he could have destroyed Jericho. And again, Jericho even could have lost this match if they hadn't gotten rid of Harper and Rowan. And if they had had him be why he beats Bray, then the next night, you have all the top contenders in a battle royal or gauntlet match or whatever. Jericho wins, he goes on, and then Bray has a reason to attack him at the end again because you got the title shot, but I just beat you. And again, it sets up the feud.
Yeah,
there's a million ways. It would have been better for him to beat him, but there's a million ways for you to have done this to legitimately created a guy like Jericho. Like,
yeah.
It took three guys to beat him the night before. Then he wins the gauntlet or the ladder match or the whatever to get the shot at the battle royal to get the shot.
Yeah.
He gets the shot. Now he gets killed, and then he gets beat up by Wyatt at the end. Well, going off there.
There's no reason you couldn't have still had Jobber and Rowan out there.
Yeah.
It's... You know.
I'm just like, fuck you guys. You just did some stuff really right. You just gave me a great SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Fuck, why can't, if you had just changed one little thing, you would have set me up so I'm already excited. Because if you say to me, Brock Lesnar's defending the title against Chris Jericho at Night of Sanity, I'm like, fuck, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be new.
Fresh match.
Fresh match. Jericho's such a great worker. Well,
It's not against Rowan.
Oh, sorry.
What? You said fresh match.
Oh. Did I?
Yeah.
Point being,
we're not getting that.
No, they fucked it up.
We're getting. What are the odds that Cena wins?
I don't think it's impossible that Cena wins.
Cena wins. Seth cashes in.
Because that way Seth has the title. Cena chases, and then Roman Reigns gets it against Seth. I just can't see the WrestleMania main event being Seth Rollins defending the title against Roman Reigns, though.
Well, but could you see the rest? Could you see it as the WWF Championship match on a card that has a Sting match, a Goldberg match, and a Hogan match?
No.
No, that's...
No, because the point is to make him the star, and it's still got to be the last match. The point is to make Reigns the guy.
Well, that's what I mean.
And that means it's got to be the last
Brock,
match.
But that's it. But that goes back to what we were saying. Brock stays a killer, and Reigns beats the killer.
We're going to be at WrestleMania.
We are.
Are we going to leave early if that's the last match? You know what I mean? You can't have that be the last match, but it needs to be the last match to make Reigns the guy.
Yeah.
But are we watching it, we're going, oh, we just saw Ambrose, who's better. Than either one of those two, and those two are great, but Ambrose is even better. And we just saw Sting. We just saw all this other great shit that we wanted to see. And, let's... I guess we'll watch this, but...
We would watch it. You and I would watch it, too.
Okay, but you threaten to have a Jericho-Triple H situation.
You do. You do.
We're at WrestleMania 18, where people were leaving, or people just weren't
interested. Or a Shawn Michaels, Fred Hart situation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a different reason.
Different reason.
Yeah. Match was boring.
Fuck off. But no, I mean it's where it's placed in the main event, and it's really not, it's so far away from the real main event.
Yeah.
That the crowd is, but if it's Lesnar versus Reigns,
Roman and Lesnar,
then it
the
has
match.
A better chance, you yeah. know?
That or, is the match. I mean that really is the match. Now could some
Well, I mean Ambrose versus Lesnar by that point would really be the match.
You know how
if they wanted to really capitalize on what the crowd would want.
You and I would have booked, actually, and the man they call B would love this, actually, but what I would book is, you're right, would do Jericho at Night of Champions, right? Mm-hmm. And
you still could have done it, even after him losing, if you had rehabilitated him on TV over the last couple of weeks, getting a couple big wins, it would have been tougher.
Jericho...
Like I say, if three guys had beat him down, that would have been...
But then,
so easy.
I mean, but then all you have
fucking
to have
idiots,
is.
But he should have just won.
Heyman needs just to gloat for a couple
weeks.
Because
it would matter as long as Wyatt gets the last win, which is the point.
But you know, he just needs to gloat for a couple weeks. You don't have to have the title defended on every show. I mean, they probably think they do. I don't know. There's some date conflicts with Lesnar, obviously. But
yeah.
So I mean, let's just say it's the Survivor Series is the next time the title. So
yeah.
Jericho loses. And Heyman gloats for a couple weeks, and all of a sudden, someone comes back to guard the galaxy, and you have Brock and Batista for a couple of matches leading to the Royal Rumble.
Sure.
right? And then
totally works. You have your Hell in a Cell, which doesn't even need a world title match, because your Hell in a Cell should be the world title match. Ideally, your Hell in a Cell main event is a Hell in a Cell match between Ambrose and Rollins.
I'm just about to say that.
That's all you need. That's your main event.
That'll sell.
That's your only Hell in a Cell match of the night, and that's all you need.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
That's your main. That's a pay-per-view main event.
Yeah, anywhere in the country.
Thanks, Gorilla. Yeah, and because of these things, you can do stuff like that. You're right. You don't. And the same thing, even Survivor Series. I don't even think you need. I think Survivor Series, if the main event could be Triple H, Kane, Rollins, and Orton versus Ambrose.
Rybacksel.
No.
The fuck was that six-man match?
Batista.
Ambrose, Batista. Where do you put Reigns in there?
Reigns, yeah. And one other guy. And Cena or...
Sheamus or...
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Cena or whatever. And if you have that be a four-way elimination with something on the line, like maybe on the line, the Survivor...
Yeah.
Gets
Brock at gets TLC Brock. Or something.
Yeah,
or
and then Batista's the lone survivor in this situation because Reigns gets fucked somehow. I'm convinced after Raw, speaking of Orton, though, that we're getting Orton versus Flair. Either he's going to manage him, or they're going to wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. My favorite part, though, is that
I'm okay with either one of those things, actually.
I just looked at Orton as, like, they're building him up as this big star.
Yeah.
Like, for lack of a better word, he is the legend. He's not the legend killer anymore.
He was. Against Reigns, he was.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how they've been building him for weeks now. Like, yeah. And even before the Reigns thing, it's Evolution.
Which is, again, why I wonder. I don't know. I mean, that little segment seemed like the start of something to me. So either, I mean, obviously you're not going to see Miz and Flair. So it's either going to be Flair managing or him against Orton.
Flair is going to go with anybody that calls someone an a-hole.
Yeah.
Oh,
because he loved that.
Because he loved that.
And as soon as I'm watching it, I'm like, that's not PG.
No. No.
Yeah.
It's like when Henry called Rusev and Lana jackasses. I'm like, that's not PG. I
mean, it's a little closer, but it's
then
not
he called him boy.
You can ask her what that means.
You can ask your girl what that means.
Whatever he said. Yeah.
I'm like, that's why they broke up the Langston of Domination.
Oh.
Is so Rusev can lead it.
Oh, apparently.
Because he's a boy.
Oh. You know, I wouldn't ask her if he really wants to know. I wouldn't ask her what it means. I would ask Michael Hayes.
It means black man. Michael Hayes, you should. Ask Michael Hayes, who was on the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Michael Hayes.
Documentary. Well.
What does boy mean?
Hello, Mo.
Yes, Michael.
Boy means Michael, you can't say that.
To cut him off. We had to cut him off. God. What the hell is wrong
with that? Get out of here, you drunk. No, you can't sing.
Oh, God.
But I don't know what that's going to be. But let's talk about it. We talked a little about Night of Champions. We talked about the Survivor Series, some upcoming booking. But you glossed over the fact that We Talk Wrestling will be coming to you totally live from Santa Clara, California.
Absolutely.
On March 29th, 2015, because we are going to WrestleFuckingMania.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Thank you to the producer.
Yes, who gave you permission to go.
As my wedding as my wedding gift. She's paying.
Oh, shit. Well, she's not for you. You're bare. You're married. I assume you're
probably
paying together.
For that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's my wedding gift.
Yeah.
Is she got a really expensive painting that she wanted.
And you got WrestleMania.
I got WrestleMania, so I win.
Yeah. That's true, because she came to me. She's like, I don't know how to get tickets. I don't know if these seats are any good. She's like, can you get tickets for us? We were going to go to WrestleMania. I can get tickets for all three of us. Yes. I'm like, you're not going to fucking WrestleMania with Addy without me. And then I come back a little bit later. I'm like, well, you know those seats we were looking at? I can only get two together and one separate. And I don't think you want to sit by yourself. So I'll have to get some a little higher up to get the three of us together. She's like, oh, that's okay. And I'm like, oh, good. Well, she could have sat by herself. It's WrestleMania. She'd make friends.
She'd make friends. But she said that. She said we're going to WrestleMania. I was like, holy shit. I said, okay. I said, don't tell Mo. She goes, oh, Mo is coming.
And it's true. As soon as I heard I was going to WrestleMania, I was coming.
Yes. It's
perfect.
It's true. It's damn true.
Yeah. So we'll be down there in Dave Meltzer country.
Yes.
And we're going to have to figure out if there are any shows around, Hall of Fame, all this stuff. And if there's going to be people down there who are going, who listen to the show, we want you to get a hold of us and we'll see you.
Yeah, we'll
have some fun.
We'll hang out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We'll give you some swag.
We're going to go to the
hall. Says We Talk Wrestling, but you must wear it at WrestleMania.
We're going to the Hall of Motherfucking Fame.
Yeah, I mean, the tickets aren't available yet, but we are fucking going.
But we're going.
I don't care if I have to beat up somebody for those tickets. Especially if they're an old woman or something like that.
Yeah. Well, they deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
Look at them. So old. And fan access.
Yeah, will there be one or just panels?
Well, if there are just P-anals, we will...
We'll go to those.
We will definitely dive.
Whatever's going on, we will be fucking attending and having fun and giving you live reports from. If you didn't listen to our stuff from Royal Rumble, it was like 3 or 4 days we were there. We just gave you like the funniest stories. Like Addy, of course, being drunk stories.
Yes. Probably not going to have the same stories with the producer lurking.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe one night. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see. But you being... But then just stories, funny stories of being at the Access, dealing with the meeting with the stars, the autograph sessions, and talking to them.
Have Bo Dallas being like his uncle.
Yeah.
Stalking us.
That's right. Like, all we had a lot of great stories, live reports from all these different things, these panels and whatever.
P-anals.
Of course, you can listen to the P-anals exclusively here on We Talk Wrestling if you haven't. It was the WCW panel, the P-anal.
Yes, the Screwjob P-anal.
Yeah,
and the DX P-anal.
And the DX P-anal. WCW one turned into more of an NWO one. We should mention, I don't know if I have mentioned this. I think I have, that occasionally somebody will search P-anal.
Yeah.
And apparently we're among the first websites you find. So that's
excellent.
That's a positive.
That is a positive.
Yeah.
That is a positive. I mean, the unfortunate part is they're looking for a probe, but they found us.
I don't know.
Well, we're probing the World Wrestling Federation for news.
And I don't know why they'd be searching for that car. It's not a very good car.
It's true. Well, that's probe. What the P-anal stands
so,
for.
So, my proctologist used to drive one of those, which kind of... I found that a little disturbing.
We're going to see Mick Foley, too.
Oh, fuck. You know what?
Less than a month.
Yeah, that's right. When is that?
It's like the middle of the month. Middle of
September. Next week, we're going to see. Not this weekend, but the following weekend is the Bret Hart Invitational. Did you look it up?
No.
Okay, look it up right now.
Okay.
After all, we're live on the air, recorded for later.
Yeah.
Some portions may be pre-recorded.
We're live to tape.
We're live to tape, because we don't do edits. Like, for instance, there's a show where I choked and almost died.
Yes.
We just kept rolling.
Yeah. I think I kept talking.
You kept talking as I'm sitting on the ground, and as you're administering the world-class CPR of punching me with your fist in the back of my back to restart me. And save my life. As you're doing that, we kept recording. And by the way, I was very impressed with your medical abilities.
I know, right?
Punching me as hard as you can in the middle of my back. It's almost like you wanted to do that for a long time.
It was natural. Mm. Natural.
Press release. Bret Hart Invitational debuts at X-Fest 2014. It's going to be some good talent there.
And Cowboy James Storm.
Mm-hmm.
You got Cowboy James Storm. You got Jinder Mahal.
I love Cowboy James Storm. He'll fit right in Calgary, too.
Oh, yeah. Jinder Mahal and Harry Smith. Yeah. Amongst the pro wrestlers vying. Oh, here, what do we got? There will also be an appearance by the original Hart Foundation. Mm-hmm. And the winner of the tournament will be presented...
the Stu Hart Championship.
By Brett. This is also some bullshit about...
Yeah, about some the of the music. Other... Jack White and some of these other bands.
Yeah. But there's no...
Well, there was. Go to the actual website, the X-Fest website.
Well, isn't that where I'm at?
No, fuck no. You're at some Scoops thing.
Oh, that's gay.
Yeah. What the hell? What's wrong with you?
No, let's just go
not
to
Bret Hart's official site. Fuck, that's not going to have any information.
Appearances? It's,
no, that's not going to have any. I told you.
Okay, fine.
Go to the X-Fest. Okay, Calgary fine. X-Fest or whatever.
Calgary fucking...
Calgary fucking X-Fest.
Yes.
That's what you typed into the Bing search engine, which is a bold choice, I must say, to not Google it.
What?
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. This thing just...
You got a virus.
Yeah.
All right. News and updates. No. Go down. It'll say something about the Bret fucking Hart. Airborne's going to be there.
And the Wisers.
Well, Airborne, though. That's good. Is he? Bret Hart Invitational.
It's the same fucking thing.
Details. Click details.
It's the rest of the fucking press release.
Lance Storm. It'll have graduates from Lance Storm's,
Academy.
Academy. Wow. We'll have that.
Wow.
So, anyways, we may go to this. We may not.
We may or we may not. When is it? It's
be fun.
It's at Fort Calgary.
Yeah.
And the winner gets the Stu Hart Championship belt.
I actually want to see the belt. It's one of the reasons I want to go. Cause
it's one of those belts, like they've had spinner belts before. Mm-hmm. But this one, if you press a button on it, it goes...
Hope you enjoy your goddamn belt.
It's a belt,
goddamn belt.
You
know the craziest thing? Everybody does a Stu Hart imitation who's heard him in this city and whatever.
Yeah.
The person who does the best one I've ever heard in my life, swear to God, is Diana Hart. That's the funniest thing. The Diana Hart is the one who does the best.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Did you see the Kermit the Frog take the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge?
No, fuck no. Why would I? Huh. He's a Muppet. If I wanted to see a Muppet, I'd look at Jerry Lawler.
But yes, it's true, as we pointed out during some of the Heyman DVD we watched. Mm-hmm. But
his plastic surgery is starting to go awry.
Vince McMahon challenging Kermit the Frog, as we mentioned last week, and Kermit took it. So I watched it. Mm-hmm. He didn't die.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Is that why?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons. But let's get away from the fact. Let's go back to the fact that we're going to WrestleMania, because really that's the most important thing happening in wrestling right now.
Yes, that we're going.
That we're going. Yes, but lots of names at this Summerfest pianal, like both Hogan and Sting.
Yes,
they're pushing for matches.
Yes,
they're pushing for matches.
Both of them wouldn't mind taking on John Cena.
But really? And Sting also wouldn't mind fighting Undertaker or Hunter.
Yes. Actually, I think him and Hunter would be pretty... I mean, Undertaker, I'm not so sure.
Undertaker never wrestles again.
I think it's probably best if he doesn't. But if he did, I mean, really, the problem is Undertaker and Sting have one match and Undertaker wins.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not really the story. I think there would have been interest. I think 3-4 years ago, there would
ain't
be
no
interest.
Grave. There would be interest.
There would have been interest because at that point, I think.
Well, there was a hell of a lot of interest.
Well, there was. And I think the reason why is because there was the feeling that that wasn't going to be Sting's last match.
Right.
Now I think there's a feeling this could be Sting's last match. So for him to come in one time and lose, so Undertaker, you know.
Sting and Jericho is my pick there still.
As far as match quality, but I think in a lot of ways, I think both match quality, but also just program and personality-wise, I really think Sting and Triple H works.
You know, because this is the CEO against the franchise of WCW, and I think it works in a lot of ways.
That works,
and
too,
it's a heel. It's a heel, and you don't have to turn Jericho. Jericho, I don't think, can turn against many people because he's just a legend status.
Yeah,
he could against Sting, mind you.
But. He could. I mean, yeah, and Hunter works too, but Hunter and Sting, those would be my two things. I mean, Hogan and Cena.
That's terrible.
Like, I just...
Hogan should never wrestle. I'd rather Undertaker wrestled again than Hogan.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Even if you're going to do Hogan, and he has to be in some sort of tag match where he's hidden, but even then, I don't think he should do that. I think it's fine for him to be a ringside, to be somebody second, and as somebody second, you can have some people run into his fist.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But I know he's like, I'm healthier than I've been, you know, I'm past my surgeries, I'm whatever.
Yeah.
But... You know, he's also said, he's older, I have arthritis, I can't do
in my toes, he said.
Yeah, the family, you know, it's part of, you know, a family thing, and I can't, so Nick has that to look forward to.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nick won't live that long, so. But, I mean, I agree, I mean, Hogan, he wants it. Make no mistake about it,
he wants it. You want that...
But he can't even... I mean, what's a Hogan match if he can't drop a leg?
And he can't drop a leg. No. He said that.
And that's the thing. So
and even if he is going to work, if he's going to work, I'd almost rather see him against Jericho, because we've seen how Jericho could take the bumps for him.
Yeah.
Cena's not a bumper. In fact, Cena's bumps look awkward.
Suck, yeah.
He's not the right guy. You have to have a guy who can create a certain amount of movement, especially at Hogan at this age, and Cena doesn't do that.
No, that's true. But who does?
Jericho still does. Yeah. But there's a few others.
So you could, I mean, yeah, you could do Jericho and Hogan, and that. But I mean, I can't do Hogan. I can't really do Hogan in his singles right now. I just don't see it. It would be great if it could happen. I would do it.
I don't think it'll be great. So I don't think it's.
Sure it would. It'd be great.
No, the match wouldn't be great. And if the match isn't great, but it would be great. Still great.
Yes.
I don't know. Yes, I really don't know.
Yes, it would.
I
7 minute moment, great.
I don't know.
Yes, great
for you. I mean, we're both going to be there, but
as soon as he goes, points the finger.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. We're in the crowd.
Yes,
and there's that electricity when he does it. Yeah, you're right. It would be great.
It would be great.
And what about Kurt Angle here? Here's a guy who wants to come in, and they don't want.
They don't want him.
Do you think that's good, or like, do you agree? Yeah. I think they should. I don't get it.
I take it as something happened that
made them. Died.
I don't want to say that they irrationally don't want him, because that's not what it was. It's because it's legitimate. He almost died,
yeah.
And that's the angle that they remember, and they don't want to put someone under contract. I mean, I really think, rightly or wrongly, they lump him in with Benoit. Is it in their minds? We could employ another Chris Benoit right now, because there is nothing that says yes. Okay, you might even be. He's not, but you can claim to be clean. You can be cleaner, but you've had all that brain damage. You've done all this shit to yourself. You've taken all these drugs. He's a Benoit waiting to happen, potentially.
Well, he's not the only one.
No, he's not. But he's a big one. And so if that's what they're thinking, and I don't know that that's a wrong thought, to be honest.
Here's I guess,
I don't hire it.
Yeah, but here's my thing. He's going to go in the Hall. Are you going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame forever? Is he Randy Savage or worse then?
Well, I think Randy Savage is going to the Hall of Fame this year.
I know. But at this point, up to this point, like, is he never going to the Hall of Fame? Is he never getting... Because if he's going to go into the Hall of Fame, I don't understand. I'm not... He wants to do the Shawn Michaels...
Yes.
Schedule. Very limited dates. Every pay-per-view. Some very limited dates. At most 8 dates a month. Maybe even less. And I say less. I don't see what's wrong with 4 matches a year. I don't think he's going to pass away or die 4 matches a year. And I certainly don't think, especially if you only do it for 1 year. But what if it's just one match at WrestleMania?
I don't think that he's going to. A
Mania and a SummerSlam. Mania 2 years in a row. What if it's Undertaker? Like, what's wrong with that?
I don't think that he's going to die if he has... 50 matches next year,
mm-hmm.
or 4 matches next year. I don't think those matches will be the largely contributing factor to his death.
No, I know what you're saying.
And they don't want to be employing another dead guy. And that's what they're looking at, is that this fucker has taken so much shit and done so much stuff that, and as I said, I think they love him. They love him in with Benoit, though.
But they thought of that, what, 6-7 years ago? And he is still alive. When they released him, they were sure he was going to be dead within a month.
Oh, I know. I know.
He's still alive. And he is in better shape than he was then. And he did do better in TNA under Limited. He still had his issues. And he's still fighting it. And when he says he's clean now, but, I mean, this guy... I mean, we could do the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week. We could do the Kurt Angle bullshit of the day. Fuck, we could do the Vince Russo bullshit of the minute.
Yeah.
And we can do the Paul Heyman bullshit of the second if we wanted to.
But he, I mean, the other thing you want to look at with Angle is that they run in the Northeast a lot, so there are a lot of snowbanks.
There's a lot of snowbanks, even in summer for Kurt Angle.
For Kurt Angle, yeah, you know,
snowbanks,
Pittsburgh snowbank, you know.
But no, I mean, I just think you gotta have him just say to him. I just don't get it. Say, okay, you want your run. We don't want you doing 8 dates. And I know you think you can. We want you to do 1-2 shows, but, and then we want you to retire. We want you to be healthy. We want to make sure you're healthy. We want to make sure see you as an ambassador. See you. He's done no less stuff than Ric Flair. If he's in a good situation, he's part of the company in a way that he's not necessarily up front, and he's in the Hall of Fame, all this stuff, there's no reason not to have him have that last moment.
They don't want him.
Because he can have that last moment.
They don't want him.
I know, and that's what I don't
know,
get.
And I don't know, like I said, I somewhat get what I just mentioned, what I laid out to you. I get that.
But your situation is different from what I'm laying out, though. You know, and that...
No, because your situation you're laying out, I agree with, but the reason that they're not laying it out, I'm saying, is that they think he's going to die.
As I drink through my cup on the air. Wait, hold on.
Oh, do it again, Oh, there you go. Who drinks on a podcast?
That's good radio.
Yeah. We'll have to eat, by the way, from our live location at WrestleMania.
We fucking will.
It's pizza.
But it'll be cold and on the ground, but you'll be hungry and hungover.
Still eating it, yeah.
You'll eat it.
Yesterday's pizza on the ground of our hotel room.
You're just on the ground. You're like, that bed's too high. I'm still hungover from the night before on the ground. Eating it, talking. Then we get a tweet. Who eats on a podcast? I was trying to listen, but you were eating. It's too bad. It's a really good content. So when we talk about go back and listen to those shows, beware. And at least one of them, Addy is eating.
Yes, that's true. And all the others, Mo is.
Wait, is that a shot at my weight?
Huh?
You didn't make a shot at my weight, did you?
Did you take a shot for your weight?
I don't make shots at you for being skinny.
Is it insulin?
And you look at you, you're skinny. It's kind of gross, actually. And you just look at you. You're so damn skinny.
Big neon green bean.
It's gross. I mean, skinny.
Skinny.
And Dave Bautista could wear you as jeans. You're skinny.
Skinny. Wow. So between the two of us, we're CM Punk. I don't even remember what I was saying. Kurt Angle, I don't know what it is. There's something there that they don't want him. And that's the whole thing. It's right now, and that's their right. I mean, right now, they don't feel they need him. Will that change down the road, maybe, when they need someone to go to the Hall of Fame?
WrestleMania 32, he's probably needed more, just from a perspective. But I still understand. It's like, okay, Kurt, you're going away from TNA. They can't afford you, and they're going to be out of business in 3-4 months anyways.
Yeah.
And they have had a slight stay of execution, but it's going to delay the inevitable, and we'll probably get to that.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, come in, Legends deal, let's get you what we want to monitor. We're going to give you regular drug tests, we're going to monitor you, we're going to watch your health, we want you to be some sort of ambassador, it's not going to be a high money thing, we want to put you in the Hall of Fame in a year or two, we want to see you here and see you contribute, you have a lot you can contribute as a trainer down in NXT, all these little things, just put him into the company, see how he does.
Well, give
if
him the
it is a problem, you can let him go at any point.
Give him the Mickey James run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Billy Gunn, too.
Yeah.
They both just got their little tryout down training there, and then go from there, right?
Go from there. And you know what? The best thing that can happen to him is to be in this corporate environment where, though, there's a sense that, hey, we care about you, and B, we are going to give you the resources to stay healthy, but we're going to be checking on you, and you have to be responsible, too. Because the thing about Dixie is, yes, it was good that they could get, when he needed rehab, Well, actually, WWE paid for
it.
But they gave him the time. They never pushed him to get in the ring. They never pushed him to wrestle much. You know, it was he pushed himself more than they did. And they had a lesser schedule, and he did do better there. And I think there was a sense that Dixie did care about him. I mean, she's a caring person. She's a moron, but she's a caring person.
Caring cunt.
But that's the thing, is that I think...
That's the difference between WWE and TNA, right? In WWE, because they have the Undertaker, as you say, come sit underneath the learning tree.
Yeah.
In TNA, they Dixie used to be ordered to come sit underneath the Karen cunt.
Isn't that a TV show? Is it a kid's TV show?
The Karen cunt?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it like Reading Rainbow?
Yeah, kind of. I think so.
Take a look. It's in a cunt. A Karen cunt. Boom. I can't fuck anymore. Where's Kurt? Take a look. He's in a cunt. Carrying cunt. Oh.
It's funny enough, but it's funny even more that for no reason that I can discernibly ascertain, you know the tune to Reading Rainbow.
It's a great tune.
You don't have kids. Oh, all right. Hey, Willie, I was still breathing.
Yes.
And I almost sounded like I wasn't. Yeah, he's got a little mark in his head. What happened to him?
Oh, it happened a long time ago. Oh. Just never healed. Well, it hasn't fully healed. It's just
he's
scar.
Like Dusty.
He's like Dusty, baby. Yeah, someone stuck him with a fork. but yeah, I mean, the Kurt. You know what I could see with Kurt is honestly, I don't mind if he goes into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who would have thought...
The thing is, you don't have to... They just have to come at it from a different perspective.
Look at Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Scott Hall, never. Put him on the Hall of Fame. Get him there. Now he's on the Raw Hogan Bash.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's not an ambassador for WWE by any stretch. Yeah. But they're open. He'll probably be at WrestleMania Fan Access signing autographs.
Right? There's no reason, other than the fact that it's more embarrassing to have an Olympic gold medalist die than Scott Hall... But there's no reason to think that Kurt Angle is any more or less of a threat in any way to do anything than Scott Hall, who actually has already killed somebody. Of course, he was like 19.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but, you know, and he has come closer more recently to killing himself.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
But
you know, he's buddies.
Yeah, well, that's true. He does have friends.
Yeah.
Scotty Hall. He's got a hole, baby. But yeah, I mean, let's the other thing, speaking of Scott Hall and NWO and was there, the Monday Night War debuts Friday.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yes.
Finally.
Friday, right after, well, it actually debuts, for us, I was looking at the schedule there, it debuts at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon here.
Oh, really?
But then also it airs right after SmackDown.
So that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I can watch it when I come home from work. That's
excellent.
And then I'll get to packing boxes because I got to move.
That's true.
Have I asked you to help me move yet, by the way? Because I could use some help.
Speaking of Dixie.
You can't?
Packing boxes.
Oh. But you can't help, is what you're saying?
Actually, I can't tomorrow.
Uh-huh. What about Saturday?
I just don't want to. You owe me money for a tux.
Why are you some money right now, motherfucker?
Well, oh.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Why is it that I'm on the bill for expenses from your wedding?
Because I'm good people.
It doesn't make sense.
Hey, you want to talk about... you talked about TNA's stay of execution.
Uh-huh.
How they're going to be airing the rest of the... We joked that they taped fucking Impact for, like, the rest of the year. Well, lo and behold, they're going to get to air Impact for the rest of the calendar year.
Yeah.
And from what people are saying is, you know, people are like, oh, this told you it wasn't dead. And I'm like, no, not yet. Not yet. But it's what it does. And apparently this was always kind of the plan. They just never really announced it.
Yeah.
is that Spike is going to let them play out for the rest of the year on Wednesdays just to, while they go find a home. If they find a home in November, well, that's fine. There's no, you know, Spike will say fine and go. So it's just a, I don't call it, what do you want to call it, an olive branch, you know, to them.
Well, because the thing is, when they had the relationship, Spike TV, for a while there, some people might not even know this, that they were the home of WWE, you know, like 10 years ago.
Yes.
And they pretty much canceled WWE and left WWE scrambling to find a new home, where they had to, like, really quickly, within a couple of weeks.
Well,
it was considered poor, in poor form, even within the business, that a lot of people didn't like it. They're trying to be more...
WWE fucked over TNN in it, and it was the
TNN
way...
getting canceled, though,
yes.
Before the contract was up. It was a real screwed-up thing.
Yeah.
Both sides had their thing, but TNN, definitely people did not view them and their way they behaved as being very professional.
Right.
They're certainly trying to be much more...
Well, it's different people, too.
Yeah.
You know, different...
But that's part of it, though. They're trying to be more... they have nothing... They don't dislike Dixie. No. They just think she's an idiot.
It's Kevin Kay, right?
Yeah.
And Kevin Kay has been considered, and he wanted to consider himself, the most fan-friendly president in Spike TV history.
Basically. Yeah, this is not the same guy that Heyman cut all his promos on.
No. I dare you to throw me off the air!
Yes. Like, so, I mean, they are trying to be professional and help them out, and the hope is that they'll find another network, and if they can't...
When they can't?
If they can't...
When they can't?
Well, and they won't. They won't. They've been trying, and they won't.
No.
So they're going to be back on... We don't know if this is at a reduced rate right now. I imagine it is.
Probably.
So, and you already had a company losing money. Now they should be losing even more money.
Yes.
For the remainder of the year. But so it really comes down to when you don't have a contract and Spike says, we can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to negotiate with Spike. And who knows? Maybe if they come in and say, we'll do it for a third of what you're paying us now just so we can keep going. And and Dixie's parents will say, you know what, we're willing to lose, instead of $10 million a year, $50 million a year, whatever, like $30 million.
Well, but that's the whole, that's the crux of it. That's why, we talked about this before, had this been 2008 when this happened, it probably wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
But right now, the board with the nail in it has cut off. Mommy has cut off daughter. Like, it's mommy
this company would already have been a year ago.
She's looking at the book. She's saying, okay, we got to spend this because we got to cut our losses. She's got to figure. They know they're losing money. She's got to figure. If the Spike TV, if they wanted to fucking renew them at the rate that they already paid them, they would have done this already.
And they're
not going to. And that's the whole point.
There is a small
this
chance
is what
they
people
will.
There
are negotiations continuing.
There is absolutely zero chance.
In
Spike
hell?
TV, no chance in hell. That Spike TV is going to be paying TNA the exact
same
rate, okay, for this new deal.
No.
They may renew them, fine, there's an outside minimal shot of that. I don't expect it to happen, minimal shot
exactly.
of it. But it's going to be at pennies on the fucking dollar, which is going to mean that Spike TV isn't their funder, so TNA can't survive. And that's the whole point. That's what people aren't getting. People aren't understanding that, oh, they got 3 extra months, so they can figure this shit out.
No.
They can't. They can't. They can't do it on the money that Spike TV was paying them in this current deal. They're losing money. So they can't do it with less money. It's not going to work. And parents are sick of this. And if they don't get it and they keep it, they're just fucking done with it.
Yeah, but you say that they are sick of this, and they are.
Yes.
But the problem here is at the moment when it's like, we're sick of this, let's pull the plug. When their daughter says, but,
oh,
they have so many times in the past.
That's why mommy's gotten involved, though, because daddy was like that. Flash the eye, daddy give daughter what she wants. Mom ain't like that.
That's not true, because otherwise they would have sold to Toby Keith.
Well, but no, because, again, that was Bob that had that was like, we'll do it. Here's the clause.
Yeah, you got.
Mom didn't see anything wrong with
it. Keep Dixie
Mom,
on TV and keep her as part of the company.
Mom didn't see anything wrong. Mom was agreeable to it.
Yeah.
But Bob is the one that put that shit in there.
Yeah.
This is what we need. This is what we need. So, I mean, they're not going to leave their daughter penniless or homeless or nothing. But Like, there's just when you don't have a when you have a wrestling Michelle, company look, when you have a wrestling company, you have no fucking television. Like, I'm sorry, it's dead.
You can have no television, or you can stay on us for a penny on the dollar, which they probably could do. At which point, a company that's already losing money starts losing major money. And if it's tough to lose a little bit of money, it's even more tough, even for people as rich as them, to lose a lot of money. And there was a point where people were going, oh, it's good for them to lose money because it's a tax write-off for the other businesses. But yes. There's a point where there is a point of diminishing returns where it's like, no, this is just a lot of money we're losing.
Well, there's only so much capital losses to offset capital gains that you're allowed.
Exactly. So, basically, yes, you're right. It seems unlikely. That said, until they actually say, Dixie, you're done, to her,
yeah,
I won't believe it, because they should have already done it. They should have done it a year ago. They should have done it 3 years ago. They should have done it 7 years ago. They should have done it. And they haven't.
Yeah.
So, until I see it, here's a company that's, what, 11, 12 years ago on?
Something like that, yeah, 12.
And they've had it for like 10 years or something like that? I think 12, and I think they've had it for like 10?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Until I see it, I won't believe it. So, I mean, there is a chance they could end up back on Spike TV. And part of it is, now that they're on Wednesdays, is how will the ratings be? Did we get ratings actually?
Yeah, 852,000 people watched.
Which is, last week, I think, was 1.3 or 1.4?
1.5,
it was like their most watched show of the year.
Half the people almost watched, a little more than half. But
can you regain that audience? Can you start to train them within a month or two? You have 3 months. If the ratings get up to where they were or higher, maybe you have a shot.
No, but, no, you don't.
Maybe.
No, you don't.
Maybe.
No. Not at
the same price, though. No, there's no way they're getting the same price.
And that's the whole point.
But say you go down 20%, and then, but of course, then that company's negotiating for you takes their share as well. But
yeah, so then you're getting whatever it is. They're taking 15%.
I think so. Yeah.
So now you're down 35%.
But maybe they think they can make it go. Maybe they're thinking, maybe now we can sell pay-per-views. Who knows? You never know. No, you never know. They might think that, oh, there's the network. Now we can sell people. I mean, they might be so stupid. But the point being,
I would believe that they would be so stupid.
Yeah. The point being, until I actually see it, I won't believe it.
Well, there is that. There is that. One person who doesn't look like he's going to be around to see that is Bully Ray. Bully Ray has said his goodbyes. His contract just kind of quietly ended.
Yeah, out of nowhere, which is weird because we were talking about how he was part of the management speech.
He was an agent, yeah.
Telling the guys that it's okay, we're still negotiating with Spike, and things could happen. So it's really strange. I fully expect him to be back there. I really do. He'd probably have to take a little less money, but, I mean, this isn't... He said goodbye on the chance to the guys, on the chance that he wouldn't be back.
No, that he probably wouldn't be back. No, it's all likelihood I probably won't be back. I'm gonna say goodbye on the chance I don't get to see you again.
Yeah. I think he will be back, but we'll see.
I don't know.
It's a big loss for them. One of their... And we talk about how WWE should snap him up. I mean, he has a horrible relationship with one of the biggest stars, Randy Orton. That said, their issues are 7 years ago. And both, I'm sure, are different guys to a degree. So, if you can work it out. Because we talk about how there's nobody they can bring in and... Like, the only two people they could bring in and people would pop for and recognize and go, that guy's a star and he's back.
Yeah.
Three guys, I guess, would be Angle, Bully Ray, and CM Punk.
Oh, right? Okay. I was also going to say Jeff Hardy.
Oh, Jeff Hardy, you're right.
Yeah.
So there's only four guys. So there's so few, because so many guys are already with you, and so few recognizable names that people go, that's a star. I'm excited to see him back.
Yeah.
People will pop without you having to do vignettes, without having you to do this being gone for years. It's not part of your company. You wouldn't have to do vignettes. You wouldn't have to do anything. Just they're back, and people will go.
You
holy
mean
shit,
not on a TNA,
on
but
a regular basis,
but in total. Okay, so there's five then, right?
Who's the fifth?
You could throw Goldberg in there.
But I'm talking about a guy who could be a regular.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So if we're really talking regular, you're probably actually only talking Jeff, CM Punk, and Bully.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Who's going to come in and be a regular part of your house shows and all that shit.
Yeah.
And the guy who was out there, RVD, is back. So, I mean, there is nobody else.
Yeah.
Like, everybody else you're talking about is an AJ Styles. So she doesn't have any name recognition except for the hardcores, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So, it's not the same. Whereas people will go, like, Bubba would... If Bubba showed up, immediately he would get a pop.
Now, would it be... Would Bubba by himself, or would he need to be a Dudley boy?
He wouldn't need to be a Dudley boy.
He could just be Bubba Ray Dudley.
He could just be Bubba.
Yeah.
No, I think it'd be great to see them together. I think it'd be great to see the Dudley boys work against the Usos for the tag titles, put them over. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But I mean, and Devon's in great shape right now. But both of them are.
Yeah.
You know, they're older, but they're in great shape. But, I mean, the biggest thing is, what's his relationship? It's been so many years, though, with Orton. But it was
and
a lot of
And do they care?
Age. Well, they, I mean, Orton does have some say. Pull in the company. But because he's a top, you know, he's right up there, right? But,
yeah,
again,
but
it's been a lot of years. And I think they'd be crazy because there is so few that can excite your fan base that you can add into your roster without having to do the work of the vignettes and get them over. They'll already be over.
Yeah.
I think you'd be crazy not to do it, but...
Royal Rumble?
I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
He shows up for the Royal Rumble, oh, fuck, does he get a pop? It'd be insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only that, but if you started leaking out the rumors that he's going to be there like day or so before, it'd be like the Nash Booker T thing. People would go crazy pop for
him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? For sure.
It would actually create interest and create pay-per-view or network buys.
It might.
You know?
It might.
In Canada, network buys, since that's successful, I'm so surprised.
I
talked about what a failure would be.
I thought it was going to be a failure, too, but it's but in their first day... They signed up more people than they thought they were going to all month.
I heard 2 days, but either way.
Or, yeah, first couple of days, that's fine. But more than they did all month. They thought they were going to be all month. So,
yeah.
Good for them.
40 hours worth of content, but you get to see the pay-per-views for $12.99 and have a better stream. For me,
well,
it's not
40 hours worth of... It's 40 hours of live content. Of television.
I heard 40 hours of VOD.
No. It's like 200 or 2,000 hours of VOD.
No, 2,000 is what on... The regular network.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Wow. I've watched 2,000 hours.
Just this week.
Yeah. Just to get warmed up. We talk about AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And AJ Styles, of course, the part of the Bullet Club.
Yes.
And, you know, was offered a WWE deal way back when.
Yes.
A developmental deal.
He was offered $500 a week to go... To Heartland Wrestling.
Was it Heartland or Memphis or something like that?
Heartland
anyway.
Wrestling.
Heartland,
or
yeah.
Les Thatcher at the time.
That was so. Back in the day when $500 deals is what people get. That was when American Dragon was in Memphis, as well as Lance Cade was there.
And basically, he was offered it.
London
it was,
and Kendrick.
But they basically told him, if you don't take it, that's fine with us.
If what?
If you don't take it, that's fine with us. It's basically what they said.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they have no real desire for it. And at the time, the person who said this and made this decision, the head of talent relations at the time.
Who was it?
Jim Ross. Right after WCW folded.
Right.
And Jim Ross has, in retrospect, it's kind of strange because I listen to Jim Ross. I listen to his podcast occasionally. When it's the right person. I listen to him talk to AJ. And he said to AJ, I made the mistake on you. You're one of the great talents of our time, and I made the huge mistake. You would have been an incredible addition to our roster. And AJ conversely said, I wasn't ready. It was a long time before I was ready, and you would have made a mistake getting me. So it's actually the opposite of what you would expect. It's the opposite of Seth Rollins, who likes to...
Yeah.
He's like, I'm great now. What do you mean?
I got to Florida, and I'm already the best fucking wrestler here.
Yeah, exactly. It's the opposite.
Red Rooster.
So I kind of went, yeah, I think he made the mistake on him. And you're like... Again, it's your. I'm Jim Ross.
You're Jim Ross, and I'm AJ Styles.
You're AJ Styles. Actually, yeah.
Oh, there's barbecue sauce container. Oh, there it is down there. JR barbecue. You knocked out my boy.
Pinata.
But I think that AJ. I don't think AJ would have. We talked earlier in the car before we went on air about Chris Farley, and I just get the feeling had AJ stayed, he wasn't going to amount to jack squat.
And And I go to the...
Be living in a van down by the river.
The cream rises to the top. And when you're that far ahead of everybody else, you rise, like Daniel Bryan or these guys have. And so it would have been a hard struggle, but the cream rises to the top.
Yes.
And he's going to be the best guy to have never gone and had a match in WWE at this point.
Well, but, like...
Because Sting will have a match, right?
The thing that got AJ recognized as a name, and literally what allowed him to get to Japan and what have you, I mean, that got him to this sort of hardcore fan level. That anybody that's a hardcore fan really knows who he is because he was allowed to do things that I don't think he would have been allowed to do in WWE. Like, look at Frankie Kazarian had a cup of coffee with WWE, right? Yeah. And didn't get to do...
He's not as good as AJ.
No, he's not, but...
He's really great. He's not as good as AJ.
But he's not, but I'm looking at, you know, like, Daniels was in a funking dojo.
He's great. Right? He's almost as good as AJ, but he's not as good.
No. But I don't know that they would allowed him to showcase, and that's what it kind of boils down to. Is I mean, if he's sitting there on Velocity, because I'm going back to the time he's in developmental there, he spends a couple years there, and then what happens? He gets brought up to what, Sunday Night Heat, or he gets brought up to the ECW. That was what in 06. So we're talking 2002.
What would
the timeline be, and what would he been able to showcase and do? And he's just, and I don't want to say he's just AJ Styles, but he's just AJ Styles. He's not, you know, the landscape was different when CM Punk came in, and when Bryan Danielson came in, because they were top stars of the number three company, and so these guys were coming in. Same with Samoa Joe going to TNA. Top star in the number three company has now come in, and they've booked him, right? AJ Styles never... He was there in ROH.
Yeah.
But never that... You know, that was, again, that was after. Part of it, he went part there of it, instead.
The thing is, part of the reason why he wasn't the guy in ROH isn't because he wasn't... I mean, Daniel Bryan was there, and other guys, but a big part of it was Daniel Bryan was wrestling in ROH. AJ, right from the beginning, was wrestling in ROH and in TNA.
Yes.
So it became a thing where we really want him on there. He's going to have a great match. But both of them, especially ROH, was like, we don't want to make him the guy because he's still with this other company as well. So it kind of became... There was a point where he came in, brought the X Division title to some of the events, and they talked about how he's X Division champion at ROH and stuff like that, actually.
Yeah.
Again, you talk about him not being allowed to do those things, but it's like Daniel Bryan. What has he done that nobody else is allowed to do? Not really anything. It's not about that. It's about the style and the charisma and understanding how to build the match. And AJ has gotten so good at this over the years.
I just kind of
it's become more than just the flippity-do. At first, he was just a flippity-do guy.
Yeah.
And more athletic than most of the guys. But as time has gone on, he's become so much more. And I really think that would have served him well. I think he's more like Shawn Michaels. It took him a long time before he got pushed, but it just kind of kept going. Bret Hart, it kind of just kept going. And I think it's the same thing. The cream rises to the top. He's at that level.
He might have been like a Kofi, maybe. I just look at him like the tippy top guys or the guys that you'd want to put, like, what his work dictates him to be, or what his work, you know, states that he should be. He's a top guy.
Yeah.
He's a top guy work. He doesn't have top guy really anything else. Like, Daniel Bryan, the reason that they went with Daniel Bryan and the fans were connecting on Daniel Bryan, a big part of that was Team Hell No. And the company feeling okay with the fact that Daniel Bryan could cut interviews, Daniel Bryan could show personality. Eddie Guerrero lied, cheated, and stole his way to the top.
AJ
CM Punk pipe bombed his way to the top.
Remember when AJ was Christian's little buddy with Tomko and was the kind of heelish guy looking for the approval of the big
yeah,
brother?
Him and Tomko were.
He was showing all the personality and was just as good in his role as Daniel Bryan was in his there.
That's true.
And so I think just because. if he's being booked a certain way and he's been with a company with limitations in his creative, doesn't mean he wasn't capable of it.
I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, it's possible that he could have. It's possible.
I think he would have. Maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe he wouldn't have gotten to be the very best. But I just kind of go, you know what? The cream rises. And sometimes you can't deny talent. I mean, I try and think of, it's like we think about the guys who they got rid of early and the guys they gave up on. Very few of them are at his level, if anybody, right? Like,
well, I look mean, at all the guys they gave up on, and but a lot of them came back, too.
Yeah, I mean, but even the guys, I'm like, Chris Masters, I think, is terrific. You know, Davey Boy Smith Jr. is terrific. And all these guys, you're like, you know, and they get rid of guys too early or give up on guys too early or don't see their potential. But none of these guys we're talking about, even like Ziggler's great, but I think AJ's even better. So, you know, I think he might have been able to, but we'll never know.
No, we never will know. That's true. Maybe he could fight Goldberg at WrestleMania.
Like I said, I think you should have brought him in that Royal Rumble and see what kind of reaction he got this past Royal Rumble. And you could have brought him in for one match, one night.
Yeah.
Bring him in, see if the reaction, depending on how he gets over the reaction, whether or not it feels like a star, determine whether or not you want him. You should have at least done that.
Give him the Doug Gilbert.
At 37, he never should have been going to developmental, which is where they would have wanted him to go. They should have just brought him in that one night, given the Doug Gilbert, like you said. Or the Jake Roberts, right?
Yeah.
Came back, got that huge reaction.
Gold dust, multiple times.
See what kind of reaction. Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. He gets the reaction, then you know, okay, let's sign him. He doesn't get the reaction. Okay, it was only one spot out of 30. And he wasn't going to win anyways. So you had nothing to lose.
I mean, you go to that, go over to that, to the, we could transition that over to that Shield documentary that they had on the network last night. And, you know, just.
How?
Mm-hmm.
How can we transition that?
Well, because I would look at AJ Styles as a guy going that they'd want him to go to developmental to quote unquote learn to work.
Yeah.
Like Seth Rollins.
Yeah. It was a little different.
Not that much.
Oh, yes, it is. You're talking about a guy who was 24 when he went to developmental against a guy who's 37.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The message would be the same.
And it shouldn't be.
And
that's
it is
the point.
No, but it is. Of course it is, because they still want guys, no matter how old they are, they want them working their style.
But the difference is that Rollins had it in his head, headstrong. I know the style, I'm great. Whereas AJ's like, he could already work that style. He could step in right now and work WWE style. He can step in Japan and work their style. He can work in TNA X Division style. But if you look at his last few years, he's been a while, but since he's been working the X Division style anyways, he's become a guy who's working far more of a WWE style.
Yeah.
He's not working a different style, really, than he's worked with guys like Kurt Angle and Christian and stuff like that over the last few years. And really, his style already is very WWE.
Well, if it is, then he doesn't need to be there long. Or just goes down to the training
center. We know he wouldn't need to be there at all, but their mentality would be he would. I know, that's the difference.
And that's, I mean, and that's fine.
So Kevin Steen is there. I think Kevin Steen should be there.
Kevin Steen as Kevin Steen.
6 months.
And Kevin Steen gets to keep his name.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I would have thought Carl Steen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he could be like a big boss man character.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, maybe as a big boss man character, he could debut at NXT TakeOver 2.
That would make sense.
Yeah. September 11th.
Mm-hmm. Maybe September 11th that night.
He could team with...
I really wonder if he'll show up that night or if they're going to hold him off. I think it's stupid not to ever debut him that night.
I think... Yeah, depending on what...
I'm thinking we're going to see a Bull Dempsey versus Kevin Steen feud pretty early.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, they haven't blown off the Mojo Rawley.
Fuck off.
So they're going to blow that off, though.
Yeah, you can blow that off way before. You can blow me off.
Hmm?
Way before. Whatever. I mean, you don't need to do that at a takeover.
No, but I'm thinking they will.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, well, you
don't... I mean, no, I'm not thinking Steen Dempsey full night.
No.
First night, I mean. No,
after.
Yeah.
They can culminate the beating of Mojo, still beat on him, and Steen runs out to make the save.
You could do it that way, or you could just have it happen on TV over a while. Take your time. They take their time with NXT. That's one of the things that makes it good.
That's true. They do. They do that. But, I mean, it looks like it's going to be Sin Cara and Kalisto against the Ascension. It's going to be a four-way for the title of this NXT thing, and then the Czech title will be up for grabs, too.
Yeah.
I don't know who that's going to
be. Then you probably need a couple more matches, so.
Yeah.
We'll see how many people are in the tag title match, right? The Dust Brothers. It's really... the Usos are really over.
Well, they were talking about two different things.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say. The Usos are really, really over. And then the crowd doesn't know how to react when they're wrestling Goldust. But when Stardust gets in there, the crowd starts to pick sides finally, and they pick him over the Usos, which is really interesting to me, considering how well the Usos have been pushed and how great their matches are and how over they are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they got something in this Stardust character. I don't know what. I don't know what the upside is. There's something about him as a mischievous sparkle, and I think part of it is he feels like Cody Rhodes, I believe, is 28 or 29.
Yeah.
But he feels younger now in this gimmick. And some, I think he's appealing to females in a way that he has never done before in kids. And it's, I mean, even as he was dashing Cody Rhodes, somehow I think, like I hear it, it's very high-pitched squeals for this character. I don't know why a guy fully in makeup, but there's something, I don't know if it's the suit, I don't know what it is. But he seems to have, he got something in that character. I don't know what you do with it, but there's something there.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with it either, but I mean, that's not bad.
Something.
So yeah, let's talk about the S.H.I.E.L.D. documentary before we go. Fucking fantastic.
Very good documentary. Very good.
They
do such a good job on these things.
And they go back to each individual. They start with, you know, Rollins with, you know, Gabe Sapolsky's interviewed. ROH footage is shown with him against Generico and Daniel Bryan, you know, all these guys, and talk about how, you know, and it kind of stopped there and then moved over to Ambrose, I think, and then they went through, talked to Les Thatcher, how, you know, he trained Ambrose, and then showed some CZW footage.
Yeah.
And talked to Drake Younger, who was in CZW.
Now with WWE.
Now with WWE in their developmental. I think he's a trainer or a ref there. And he's, you know, showed some of his matches and how he would just do anything. It stayed with the real kind of psycho that would do anything character, you know?
One of the reasons why his gimmick works so well is because he knows every nuance of it.
Yes.
Like he lives the gimmick.
Well, he's been and his gimmick hasn't changed. His name has changed. Yeah. But the John Moxley gimmick and the Dean Ambrose gimmick are basically one and the same. It's just an evolution.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's, like I say, he knows the gimmick, he lives the gimmick. Because the gimmick really is, get this, it's him turned up to 11.
Yeah. Funny how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of him in there. He is a wild guy. He has been a wild guy in his past.
Yeah.
But he is driven. And his understanding of the psychology of babyface, and he has an instinct for the psychology of babyface, heel, and matches and crowd reactions that's instinctive, that you can't teach, that nobody, I don't think there's anybody in WWE who has it like him.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And nobody probably has since The Rock and Austin.
Probably, yeah.
At this level.
I think Austin had the instinct. Rock had the drive where, I mean, he'd always talk about how he'd wake up in the middle of the night and think of a line and go write it down. Yeah. Like, he was always thinking. And same with Foley. You know, always thinking. I think Austin's the best example of the instinct, though. Because Austin, I think, just had that
instinct of knowing.
Jake Roberts instinct.
Yeah.
You know, Jake Roberts, same lineage, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Same thing.
And definitely Dean Ambrose has that. And that's why, and the people in the company are starting to go, oh, this might be the top guy. It might be him now.
Yeah.
Some people are going, oh, look, he just connects.
Yeah,
and he does.
Just look what he is.
And it's like I say, it's little things. Like, he doesn't feel like he's performing. And John Cena always feels like he's performing.
Yes, he does.
Every part of his match feels like he's down. It's like you can see him going, okay, this is the part where I get up and give a hurt look. Or this is the part where I, you know, or this is the part where I fire up. And it feels like, whereas Dean Ambrose, it feels like he gets up and goes, fuck you, I'm ready to go. And it feels real.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not thinking I need to fire up. I'm fired up. I'm fucking going at you.
Yeah.
Or
he'll say, what? It's for charity.
That was the greatest line ever. So great.
Dumps the ice bucket on his head. What?
The best moment.
For charity.
And there was a moment in the documentary where he said something too. I laughed so hard out loud for several minutes. It was early on. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But he was just so great.
I know what you're talking about. I do remember the... I don't remember what the line is, but yeah, I remember
Yeah, there's a part something. Where I just broke out laughing. It's just, I'm like, he's great. There's a
part two with him and Roman Reigns sitting in the back there.
Yeah, that's great. Some guy,
he's like, what do you call him, Poodle or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Noodle, Noodle. I'm sitting here around here like an asshole.
So great. I mean, he's just, like I say, when he's outside the ring, when he, if he sees a chair... He doesn't go to pick up the chair like he knew it was there. He goes up to pick the chair like he just spotted out of the corner of his eye and got this idea right now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like a performance or predetermined thing.
Yeah.
Unless there's cinder blocks.
Yes. You know.
But
yes.
What can you do? That's not unusual. I notice you keep cinder blocks in your bathroom.
Yeah.
I keep them in the living room.
Yeah.
Like, so you just keep cinder blocks around various places
they're always for no reason. They're always at Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's something you do.
Yeah.
It's typical.
It is.
Because,
it really
you know,
is.
You just never know where you're going to have them. Sometimes it's convenient.
It's, a lot of times it's yeah. convenient. That's why you always have them around.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know exactly what's going to happen. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. It's fine.
Exactly.
But no,
he's
That was a great fucking great. Match too, though.
Oh, it's awesome. Because he was so awesome. And I mean, Rollins is great, such a great athlete and a great technician. And then Ambrose is crazy... Lunatic Fringe. They gotta fucking invest in that music. It doesn't even have to be the original. You can get somebody doing a cover cheaper like they did on Rock Band and all these things.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero. Like you need that Lunatic Fringe music.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, how much could Tom Cochran possibly charge? Really?
I know, and like I say, even if you're not getting the original.
It would be like Cult of Personality.
Yeah, or less.
Like, they're just fucking happy that someone wants the fucking song.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But... You'd have Tom Cochran at WrestleMania.
Oh, that fucking be great. Oh my God, that would be great.
And how would that be great?
That he's great.
Tom Cochran?
Oh, in concert? I've seen him in concert. He's awesome.
I fucking hate Tom Cochran.
Great.
I hate Tom Cochran because of the CRTC. And in like 1990 to 1993, the only like three Canadian songs that were out there were like Life is a Highway, Summer of 69, and then fucking If I Had a Million Dollars came out by the Bare Naked Fucking Ladies. And so that was like...
Every, it's all great tunes!
Every hour you had to hear this shit. It's like...
What about Big League?
It's the music... You know what it is? It's,
my boy's gonna play in a Big League.
Life is a Highway in 1991.
My boy's gonna play in the Big League.
Life is a Highway.
My boy's gonna knock... Turn some heads.
Was the...
Oh.
You done screwing up the lyrics? To
Big League.
1991, Life is a Highway, great was song. The musical equivalent of $9.99.
It maybe got played a little too much, but fucking great song. A
little too much. $9.99.
Big Fringe. I don't know.
I don't know the rest of the words. But then the take a look. It's in a book.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'd be a cunt.
You have a lot more than a million then.
That's no.
If you're Dixie.
It was Dixie, it might be worth more than that, but I wouldn't have more than that.
Good point.
Fuck. But no, I mean, and then he showed Roman Reigns.
Some craft dinner.
And his
but
football.
Be a lot of craft dinner.
Played
I have $1 million.
Played on the same team as Megatron.
That's right.
And
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. But.
Yeah, they've got his college coach. Or and what was it? University of Georgia, was it?
Yeah, the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I believe.
Right. Yeah.
And. Yeah, and the Usos on that team, too.
Yeah. I listened to, there was an interview with Rosie, and he's like, you can just call me Rosie or Matt or Roman Reigns' big brother, whatever. But it was like the worst interview. The guy's so boring.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It really is shit.
Superhero in training.
Horrible gimmick.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think that so, I mean, another great, great special. I like at the end, they summarize it at the end. Ambrose just said, you know, we came in, we said we were taking over this business, and
yeah.
I guess if we're not together, guess what? Still take over this business.
And it's just a race to see who gets to the top, but they're going to be back together eventually.
Oh, yeah. Watching this, there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. And, I mean, it never really was anyway. That it would just be a matter of, you know, it's going to be 2016.
Probably, yeah.
Probably, right? But
and you're going to need that next group. What you're going to want to do is somewhere near the end of 2015, bring up that next heel triple group that runs roughshod through the entire company until the Shield reunites to take them on.
Yeah.
So I don't know who that's going to be at the time because that's ways away. But yeah.
Who would you have that be?
It's too late. It's too far out. Well, actually, it's not. I guess it's a year.
No, it's not even a year. You would want to have them come in 2015, you said?
Yeah, about a year from now.
Oh, a year from now. Okay. That's not the beginning of the year, but a year from now. So yeah.
Even the beginning of the year, you're right. 2015, early, somewhere around WrestleMania, before, just after, before. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Sami Zayn, Kevin Steen, and who?
No, they're not. Steen is right. Zayn's personality is not right to be the heel member of that group. Like, he's just not. Steen, I don't think Zayn ever should be a heel, ever. But he has the chance to be your second or third from the top babyface for his whole career.
But who else is there? They don't have any other.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, who's got that natural heel heat or could? Is there anybody currently on the roster or is there somebody down there? Because you look at the guys who are their top, and they still have to have a certain physical imposing.
Yeah, you can't have Tyson Kidd.
No,
you can't have Breeze. You can't have Neville.
No.
I don't think Devitt could do it.
No.
Should I take that back? A Kid or a Devitt could be the...
they're so good, is the thing. They're incredibly good.
But with a personality, I don't want to say like Ambrose, because they don't have to be lunatic. They don't have to be lunatic fringe, but they have to be the mischievous one.
Devitt has a real good heel personality.
Yeah.
So that's possible.
So he could be the mischievous one.
Yeah, him, Steen, and...
And you got to come up with another one, but because I don't see one right now. But that
I don't know if Bull Dempsey will ever be ready.
I don't think Bull Dempsey will ever be ready. I don't know that
Mojo won't be ready. Cass, I don't see.
Well, Big Cass is the only guy that has that.
He's big, but
that's the thing. He's
missing something to me.
He's also he's
very much a performer, and it comes across like he's a performer.
Yeah, he's not your imposing guy, right?
You know, I think Ascension will be up. I think Ascension will be up before the end of the year, so I don't see that working.
Well, and that's to me, that's just keep him as a tag. I don't see.
I mean, sure, there is somebody down there who's call up the roster.
You know what? Actually, if you
NXT
if
right you, now, no, go to their website.
Could you do the Ascension and Solomon Crowe?
I don't know.
You could throw Solomon Crowe in with Steen and Devitt as well.
Maybe. So the thing is, I just don't think... I think the Ascension are fine as a team. I don't think they're good enough for what we're talking about. We're talking about taking on the Shield and going through the whole company.
Yeah.
They have to be tremendous talents. To do that. So I just... Yeah. I'm having trouble seeing who that guy is. You know?
And,
Are we going to go through the spoilers here, or...?
There are no spoilers.
For NXT, I thought they were going to
know. No, I thought so, but there aren't.
No?
Let me here just go to this NXT.
Yeah. And their website, their roster.
The official site.
That'll do it. Yeah. If, technically, from what I know, that's what we're looking for.
Yes. Yeah. Enzo gets an unwanted trim.
Yeah, so not Enzo Amore. No, not... Yeah.
Ah. NXT superstars. So, we've got Adrian Neville, who we've said no to. Aiden English.
Not right.
Alex Riley.
No.
He's the future.
The Summer of Riley.
Alexa Bliss.
Life of Riley. Alexis Bliss. No. Thanks. Though she looks pretty hot there.
Who's this Elias Sampson?
I don't know.
after putting in long hours, he says, I thought that was fucking Sandow at first.
I don't know. You'd have to Google him.
But
to see who he
okay, well, let's go. Angelo Dawkins?
No. Who's that other guy?
Baron Corbin?
I don't know him.
It's Bayley.
I don't. I think we can probably take. I don't see one of the females from NXT challenging the Shield. I mean, it's possible. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's likely.
Okay, I don't know who
any of these guys are except for Bull Dempsey.
I know who Buddy Murphy is.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, he's in that team, tag team with that guy with some Wesley. Some. Yeah.
Either way, he doesn't look like.
I don't know who Cal Bishop is.
No clue.
So we'll say no.
CJ Parker's a no. Colin Cassidy, no. Corey Graves?
No.
I guess he doesn't have it.
I hate Corey Graves.
I don't hate Corey Graves, but...
That is awesome picture of Enzo Amore.
Yeah, that catches his personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan? No.
Connor? Marcus Lewis? No, no.
Oh, that's the guy that shouldn't talk.
Oh, that's the
Marcus Louis.
Marquise Louis.
Who at
the
other?
He's got a good look. I'm sure he seems like a pretty good hand in the ring, but he just shouldn't talk at all. No.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn. I'm still not seeing anybody. And there might be somebody who they haven't got here. But yeah, who's Sawyer Fulton?
I don't know.
He's got a good look there.
Yeah, he's got
big.
A look there. Yeah.
But you got to be more than just a good look. You got to be able to work at that level.
Yeah. It's not Scott Dawson or Simon Gotch.
No, absolutely not.
Sister LaFleur. Nope. No, I don't know who Troy McClain is.
Ty Dillinger, I think we've seen him. But
Ty Dillinger teams with Jason Jordan.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Did you already pass him?
Yeah, he was over there.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know who this fucking guy is.
No clue. But he doesn't look like any.
Mm, so there's something on my monitor? No, he's got like a little like headset. He almost looks like a...
Manager.
Like a manager or a workout instructor.
Yeah, he's Simon Dean.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great. So yeah.
Wesley Blake, that's the other half of that... team with that other fuck.
Yeah.
Nobody else on here. And William.
And William Regal.
Regal, okay.
The
so,
new gentleman.
I'm going to click on Troy McClain to see what the fuck a Troy McClain is. He's 6'3".
Bullshit.
230.
Bullshit.
Oh.
Oh, they had a little more.
Message for all the get out of my way. 3-sport high school standout Division I athlete. McClain has nothing but gold on his mind. The self-titled workhorse incorporates smush in your face style. An effort to leave a lasting impression on the NXT universe, McClain is vowed to be the hardest working champion in NXT history.
Okay, blah, so blah, blah. What about...
I want to know what the Troy McClain chatter is. And there's none. Troy McClain, ask me a question, he says.
Well, Google him. See if he was somebody before he was Troy McClain. He must have been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if he was somebody on the Independents, we would have known. You know, like, WWE Troy McClain.
Hi, I'm Troy McClain. You might remember me from such films as. There's his wiki.
There's his wiki?
And it's wild.
Mm. Oh, it's sticky.
His name is Alexander Jones. He's an American professional wrestler.
I figured that.
Ring name's Xander Jones.
Doesn't sound familiar.
He has no real news about him.
Okay. So he's probably not the guy. Now, yeah. Slam Sports, this is just from a little while ago. Top 10 prospects in NXT. Let's just see what they say. Maybe there's somebody there that's not regular, you know, roster that we can think of. But what I was going to say is, what if you think outside the box and you say Steen and Devitt and bring in somebody back like Bully Ray to be their mentor and run roughshod? Or even somebody currently on the roster, like a Wade Barrett, somebody like that, you know, who that's his two guys, and it's the new Nexus or the new core, whatever.
Yeah,
and
we need a new core.
Well, but you know what I mean. Like what if? Because that way you only have to find the two guys, and you can give a rub to somebody who's already on the roster, who's underused and talented.
Yeah, yeah,
and I think like a Wade Barrett would work very well like that.
Well, that would be good. It would teach...
and all that, you know...
It would definitely teach, though. I mean, we said... Who did we say? We said Kevin Steen and Devitt. I mean, to my knowledge, and I don't know a lot about their history, but I don't think they've done this, is that I don't remember a period where Prince Devitt has, you know, been out injured a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're with Wade Barrett, they can learn to do that.
The guy has the worst luck.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I know. First he looks like you, and then...
Oh, fuck off. Better than looking like you. I mean, look at you. You're so damn skinny.
Hot.
Yeah. Skinny.
Take a look.
AJ thinks you should eat a sandwich. You're skinny.
AJ? Oh, AJ Lee.
Yeah.
Not Styles.
No. Though he probably thinks it, too. Yeah. Oh, boy. They're listing the, man, I don't know. They're listing the best prospects here.
Yeah.
Number one, they have, this is from April. I'm going to actually read you this. I want to get your reaction to this. This is from Slam Wrestling. Number 10, Rich Brennan and Alex Riley.
Are the two... are these people now?
That's what it says. Rich Brennan and Alex Riley. But,
no, what are they, though? These are
the 10 best prospects in
prospects,
NXT.
Okay.
According to Slam. Just about four months ago about there.
Right.
So not long ago.
I would agree in April that that Alex Riley would have, coming off of the WrestleMania pre-show panels...
So I guess they were teaming together for a little while.
Tag teaming?
Yeah, Rich Brennan.
No, I think
he has one year of experience, and Alex Riley apparently has 15.
I think, is Rich Brennan not one of their announcers?
I don't know.
I think Rich Brennan
that's what they're doing. Actually, maybe that's what they're saying. That's probably what they're saying.
I think Rich Brennan is the
announcer. Oh, I see. Yeah, it's Rich Brennan has 15 years, and Alex Riley has one as an announcer.
Ah, okay, there you go.
Part of developmental problem. Okay. Sasha Banks is number 9.
Okay.
And number 8, LaFort and Louis.
Okay.
The Legionnaires.
The Legionnaires.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Number 7, Cassidy and Enzo Amore. So big Cass, Colin Cassidy and Enzo Amore.
You know what? The one thing I do like about Cass and Enzo is...
I like them as a team.
Yeah, as a team, they're a different dynamic than any other team.
The loudmouth little guy, and then the big guy can back it up.
Yeah.
It's a...
Diesel
natural
and Sean
heel act
kind of
that
thing,
somehow,
right?
But the natural heel act that becomes a babyface act. We're talking about this before.
Yeah.
They even have their little spiel. The difference is he needs to not say the exact same things
yes.
every week. You can have your tagline at the end, like the New Age Outlaws did.
Yeah.
But they always said something different leading into the tagline. One of the things that's interesting here, years of experience. Cassidy's been wrestling for 3 years and Enzo for 2. And they're both 27.
They're both 27?
Yeah. At least as of 4 months ago. Bailey, 24 years old. She is their number 6 prospect.
Yeah, I don't really.
Aiden English, 3 years experience. He's their number 5 prospect. His background, he was known as formerly known as Matt Marquis, and his background acting. And it actually lists their actual backgrounds, at least apparently here. So like Bailey's was indie wrestling. Cass was basketball.
I just don't see
his was. His was
who, Enzo?
Aiden English. His was acting, and he's only 26.
Yeah.
He looks fucking way old.
Yeah, he does. He was.
He looks 40 something.
Yeah, no hair, and yeah.
But he's yeah. The Ascension. They're both 34 and 33, and they're both 13 years experience.
Yeah, time is. If you're gonna do it now.
It's ticking. It's ticking. Tyler Breeze is their number 3. He's 26 years old. He is 7 years experience. I think he can make it to the main roster. I don't think he can make it as this character.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can be a big star.
I told you this today is that when we were watching NXT, is that he's my new Leo Kruger.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Rose used to be Leo Kruger. And I said for probably years that we watched Leo Kruger on NXT that, like, this guy, Leo Kruger, is not main roster material. Not to say that the wrestler, I don't think Tyler Breeze is main roster material.
Well,
not to say the fellow isn't, but the character is not.
Yeah. He's good enough to be in the roster as far as talent. He's a fair look. He is a good wrestler. The gimmick is, it just is not quite.
He had a great match with Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn's one of the five best wrestlers in North America.
If you can be carried to that, then you're good enough to be on the main roster.
That's true. So, I mean, he's 26 years old, like I say, 7 years experience. He's with a different gimmick, but what's his upside? His upside is to get at the level of Jack Swagger, maybe? Like, that's your top. Like, and not where, like, where Swagger was.
We talked about, though.
I'm trying to
think
of
the rest. Other than Rusev, let's see. I mean, you have Adam Rose and Bo Dallas are your other two.
That's maybe his level. You're right. That might be a better way to put it. He's
Adam Rose, Bo Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, Santino's already talking about coming back from retirement.
No, I know.
If he regains his health the way he's
working
to.
There's also a rumor that that Daniel Bryan might need the Dr. Zhou surgery and be out for a year.
Well, apparently they're trying to still do it without surgery.
Yeah, they're trying.
He's frustrated. I just hope he gets healthy. I hope even if he never wrestles again, I hope he gets healthy.
Well, yeah, that's healthy. Yeah. Yeah.
Sami Zayn is number two.
Okay.
He had 13 years of experience and is 29 years old.
So, what, Adrian Neville, or this is Slam, so they go Tyson Kidd?
Charlotte. So Tyson Kidd and Adrian Neville aren't on there.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They mention Adrian Neville, but they also mention Kalisto. These are kind of Mojo Rawley.
See, I think Kalisto has found that niche with Sin Cara.
I think you need a different guy playing Sin Cara or a different. I just think that Sin Cara is not dynamic enough for what they need. And I also hear he's having backstage attitude issues.
What's his name there? Hunico.
Hunico, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I like him in a tag team, but. Yeah, so interesting. But, hey, Michael Cole and JBL are going to have a radio show that's going to be on 500 stations.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? It's going
to be a syndicated radio show.
I love stations. 1985.
I thought that was a really interesting ad. Really? So that's a new note.
Why would they do that?
Because I bring notes. I keep them in my head. I don't have to write stuff down because I'm smart. But
what is it going to be about?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Literally, it didn't say.
Huh.
Just that it's a syndicated radio show.
That's fun.
So I'm sure it'll be about them. So it'll be talking, I'm sure it'll be about them. No, fuck. Okay. I'm sure it'll be current events and financials.
Yeah,
because that's kind of what they.
Shit, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's. There's no reason to think that it would be anything else. So.
That's true.
Given that, yeah. And I think Cole would be the straight man, and I think JBL will actually be well-suited to this type of thing.
I don't know. Like,
it'd be best if he has Vince McMahon in his ear telling him to run down somebody and assault somebody, and they'll do it because he is the voice of
Vince McMahon. I don't know
that.
I just don't know if I would buy Cole as a straight man. But, I think we're hitting the two-hour mark here, Mo. So it's time to get the fuck out of here.
Make like a leaf and get the fuck out of here.
And I think we've covered a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
But we'll keep going and next week, and we'll see what this Monday Night Raw. The return of John Cena.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think he's on SmackDown. Isn't
he? No, it's just announced on SmackDown.
Are you sure? I thought he was on.
No, he's not on. Hunter was on announcing the rematch, but Cena's on Raw this Monday to address the World Wrestling Federation universe, and we'll see what he has to say. But
Well, you'll see, and I'll do something else.
Yeah. I just want to know what's the over under on how many jokes he tells.
If he tells any, like...
I love that. That was the other part I laughed.
If there's any, there's the one he can tell. The one joke he can tell is about being a Paul Heyman guy. Because Heyman said that, if I wasn't so busy, I'd make you a Paul Heyman guy. Because he's putting over Cena.
Yes.
As he should.
Yes.
You know, but... Yeah.
What do you think of Torito and Hornswoggle as a regular tag team with Hornswoggle dressed as a cow with udders? Is it utterly shit?
The other part of the S.H.I.E.L.D. documentary I meant to notice, mention was the part that made me laugh. You said there was something Ambrose said aloud. The part that made me laugh were two parts. One where they talked about titles being really important.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was in a company where wins and losses are really what makes superstars. Or in a business or something, they said, where wins and losses...
Well, they should be.
Make superstars.
And hey, tell you the truth.
Just laughed my ass off.
It is with fucking Roman Reigns beating Orton. I mean,
It can still.
But they usually fuck it
they
up.
They usually don't, yes. Yeah.
But they're doing a little better with that. Rusev.
Swagger.
Lesnar. Yeah.
Swagger.
Yeah.
Losses matter.
Yeah.
They are pushing him back down.
That's right. All right, like you say, we're OUT on this.
Yeah, let's get the fuck out. Okay, so WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. At WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. You can listen to us on iTunes and subscribe, Stitcher, the TuneIn radio app. And email us, addie@wetalkwrestling.com. We still have some questions. We've got some more today that we've got to get to.
Here, we went 2 hours and 6 minutes without
a question.
Or going to the website to do a poll or anything like that.
That's true.
And there's other stuff that I could have talked about that we left off the table. It's just current stuff. So.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it then. So, in the meantime and in between time, that's it, another edition. We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, we're off the air this time, right?
Yes.
It's usually
we're always off the air.
When I ask you, I find out later that we're not. But
what?
This time we are, right?
Yeah, scout's honor.
Okay. Just, I don't want to, this would be embarrassing if you say no again, so that's why I don't want this on the air.
Okay.
But, because we're good friends and everything.
Yeah, we're not on the air.
Yeah.
I promise.
Will you help me move Sunday?
Would you fuck off with that? And we're on the air.